Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Another week of transmission against tyranny. You have found at the front lines in the info war. We are desperately attempting to alert not just the people of the United States, but the people of the planet to one of the latest attempts at global domination that we've seen in history. This one, a corporatocracy, a type of high-tech technocratic oligarchy that calls itself the New World Order. It is inherently anti-human. Its base ideology, its core driver is eugenics. And we're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. The top legal advisor and constitutional law scholar, Bruce Fein, will be joining us for 30 minutes at the start of the third hour today. But in the balance of the broadcast, we're going to cover incredibly important news and take your phone calls. I was on Coast to Coast AM last night on the Sunday edition and certainly enjoyed being on with their weekend host, a very, very informative, very, very smart guy. I want to get him on as a guest, Rob Simone. They have just amazing fill-in host as well over there. So I want to thank them for having me on to cover, of course, the incredibly important National Defense Authorization Act. I opened the phones up yesterday on the Sunday show from 4 to 6 and took a lot of calls from police and military, all of which that called in were very much against using the military on the streets of America. But the NDAA 2012 that they've passed and now is going to go on to the president is far worse than just that. It declares the whole world a battlefield, basically declares war on the whole planet. Quite a unilateral declaration of war, which is what eugenics really is. And it allows, of course, the secret arrest and internment of the American people. Anybody who ever made fun of us for talking about FEMA camps and the Emergency Centers Establishment Act and the executive orders, because they hadn't looked at the facts, well, they can't really laugh at us now, can they? In fact, they should be thanking us for warning them and asking us how we knew. But instead, it's, well, you're still kooks. Yeah, they're announcing a global bank of the world we'll all pay our taxes to that engineered the collapse. And yeah, they're setting up FEMA camps. And yeah, they're saying they want to start arresting citizens. And the TSA is setting up checkpoints on highways. But you're still bad. It'd be like an NFL football player who played 20 seasons and never lost a game. An NFL quarterback who made two or three touchdowns per game. And it'd be like the media saying he's the worst football player ever. He's scum. He wins every Super Bowl 20 years in a row. Most valuable player. That's what the Patriot movement is. Absolutely right. Absolutely full of courage. Day one doing the research. Day one warning people. Day one for 50 years or more being attacked, demonized, killed, imprisoned. Because the Federal Reserve took over in 1913. It's just been absorbing the rest of the country. We were an incredibly free nation. And now here we are down the road. Last 50 years or so has really been the acceleration of it. And they've totally engineered our society. And you couldn't recognize it from what it was 50 years ago. Basic liberties are anathema and are the enemy in the culture. Private property is the enemy. The family is the enemy. And every form of degeneracy and weakness and fraud is like ambrosia or the ether in which we're supposed to swim. But for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, and we are that reaction to this tyranny. We are the counter-revolutionaries. We are the restorationists here trying to bring our republic back. All right, it's all coming up today. I've got incredible news on Iran, unbelievable news on the economy, the TSA. Newt Gingrich is to get endorsed by Herman Cain. Why not be endorsed by Beelzebub, another confirmed liar? We'll be right back. PrisonPlanet.tv, GCNLive.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. It is another live transmission. I am your host, Alex Jones. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're a new listener, this radio show is not left-wing or right-wing. We are constitutionalist. We believe in liberty and freedom and due process. The Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, there is no better document or group of documents. There is no political system that has ever created so much wealth and freedom and dignity as what our republic has basically brought in. You judge a tree by its fruits. Now, we never fully realized the promises of the Declaration of Independence, Constitution, and Bill of Rights, but we went further than any other nation ever has. And so the bounty was so giant that we became absolutely slack-jawed and decadent. And we are waking up homeless on the continent our forefathers conquered, as Thomas Jefferson warned we would, to the private banking cartels. And now we are here at the very end of the collapsing republic, and things are just going to go downhill from here very, very quickly if we don't put the brakes on, and it may be too late. But if you're going to go ahead and slide down a cliff, you might as well try to grab hold of the side and slow your descent, or hopefully not fall all the way and just break your leg on a ledge and then wait for help. We know that if the New World Order is fully brought into fruition, it is not going to be a pretty sight. Now, let me just do this. I'm going to do what I did yesterday because I think it was very informative, at least in the first hour and a little bit into the second hour. I'm going to open the phones up just for police, current police, and military. I would like to hear from you. Are you going to go along with what we see happening? Major banks taking houses they don't even have the deeds to, and in some cases they don't even own and never had a deed to. Just houses that they have no claim to, knowingly taking them. Are you going to set up checkpoints as local police become more and more federalized under FEMA and the 10 regions and the threat fusion centers? Are you going to take blood draws at checkpoints on the highways as the federal government is financing police departments across the nation to do? Are you going to take part in the Model States Health Emergency Powers Act for forced inoculation? By the way, you're going to be forced to take a bunch of shots as well, a bunch of deadly vaccines that have been proven to be very dangerous by design. Are you concerned enough to even have the courage to call in? Because I talked to a lot of police and people off record, and they're like, I'd call in when I see cops on the street or across the country, wherever I go. They'll come over and, hey, I like your show. A lot of the people, you know, at the headquarters, at the office like you, but we're just, you know, scared to stick our heads up. If you can't stick your head up because you know everything's spied on, everything's monitored, if you can't even take the step of calling in, we had police calling in yesterday, and they're like, yeah, I know everything's listened to and everything's put in the database. It's just amazing, Alex. So it is true. To call in, because a lot of you are sitting in your squad car and you're saying, I'm not going to call in. Phones are all listened and tracked and traced. They'll know I'm calling into a show. Wow, you really live in a free country. You can't call into a talk radio show. See, right there is total proof of what we are and what we've become. Because I run into police all the time, or they write me letters with a general return address. And they break down the fact that they know everything's surveilled and that we're living in a police state. Well, so what? We're not the bad guys. If the system wants to come get me, come get me. Here I am. And I'm not saying bring it on, like George Bush said. I'm just here doing my job, telling the truth. not selling out, standing up for free humanity. I know who the criminals are. We've proven who the criminals are. I'm going to go through more evidence backing up everything we've said today, just pouring out right now. But you have a decision to make. There are really no countries in history, in modern history, in the last 200 years or so, where the government puts on paper that it can secretly arrest you and disappear you and torture you and kill you. Because you add this new bill in with the past bills and with what Obama put out last Monday with his lawyers saying, we don't need this bill. We can kill Americans whenever we want. No judge, no jury. I don't need Congress to launch a new war. Remember that with the Libya situation months and months ago. This is a time when the system is just overthrowing the Bill of Rights and Constitution. And when I get calls and emails and see comments on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, it's the vast minority, but we also got this when we sent Darren McBreen and John Bowne out on the streets last Friday for the nightly news. I played a clip of this last night. And two or three people they ran into, the vast majority were awake and concerned, veterans and others, about obviously having the military involved in the streets. If that isn't bad enough, by the way, we'll secretly arrest you and you'll just disappear into a black hole. And by the way, the whole world's a battlefield now. They just declare unilateral war on the whole planet. Congress just says, here's all our authority, take it. But the minority says, well, I have nothing to hide. I've done nothing wrong. I'm a good guy. What foolish, ignorant, childlike people. Those are famous last words. If a home invader comes in your house and ties you up and rapes your wife in front of you before beating your children's brains out, I mean, how could that happen? You didn't do anything wrong. If your house burns down because you left the fireplace too full of wood and coals jump out while you're at the store or whatever and your house burns down, I mean, how could that happen? You're not a bad person. You know, that's the same thing with the teenage girls and young women that would get in the car with Ted Bundy over and over again. He was wearing a suit. He looked non-threatening. It was a cute little yellow car. And he admitted he got it because it was cute. Oh, I mean, this can't be a serial killer. He's driving a yellow Volkswagen Beetle. He's wearing a nice little tweed suit. Oh, the big megabanks couldn't hurt us. They're old men with bald heads who walk with a limp. They're non-threatening. I mean, Hitler, he's a military, highly decorated, got the Iron Cross First Class. That's the Congressional Medal of Honor in Germany. Well, they had like 10 classes of it in World War I. He had Iron Cross First Class. He must be a good guy. People ask how Hitler got elected. Well, I mean, he was a Congressional Medal of Honor winner. That's how he got elected. He was a message runner for 2 years in World War I, nerve gas repeatedly. He'd run across enemy lines over and over again when the lines were intertwined to deliver messages. That's why he was a multi-time Iron Cross winner. Of course, he was a bad guy. But wait a minute, he's a Congressional Medal of Honor winner in Germany. He can't be bad. It's the same thing over and over again. 100% this country has terminal cancer, terminal political cancer, and it may be too late to remove it now. You know, more and more, I'm doing research and just getting prepared to shift into totally remnant defensive mode. And I'm not happy about that, believe me. I mean, at a certain point, I'm going to have to tell folks to go ahead and start digging in. Go ahead and get firearms. Go ahead and get ready. I'm not pleased about this. We knew this was coming. It is what it is. It is what it is. I mean, the government declares war on the Constitution. I'm not just saying that. This is war against the Constitution, war against our freedoms, war against our founders' ideals, war against everything our veterans have fought and died for, declares worldwide war, sells torture, and everything is great. And all of us have a decision to make what side we're going to be on. You have a decision. And they're going to run the psyops with the rollout of the military and the rollout of the FEMA camps is going to look like it's to help the public, and the military is going to restore order, and the military is going to stop hordes of welfare people burning down cities. And it's after all of that comes that then they start arresting people. And even if you've got a tyranny, if as long as there's still courts, you've got a chance. But when they start talking like this, you don't have a chance. You can't go to the FEMA camp. You can't disappear into a black hole. And at that point, everybody has a right and a duty. If you were in Soviet Russia, Nazi Germany, Maoist China, America can't go this way. We can't just bend over the barrel and say, have your way with us. Can't do it. And you've got to think about these scenarios, but never, never, never draw first blood. Never, if you're in some group, you know, military training group or whatever, where people come shooting their mouths off about offensive operations, that's 100% a Fed trying to set you up, or a foreign asset or a mercenary. No, you are above board. This needs to be above board, preparing to defend the Republic, period. And that's it. And you never draw first blood, and you never are offensive. Now, once somebody attacks you, it's a different story. But we're in an info war, and there's been a lot of cases in history where right when things get bad, things can turn around. There's a lot of different scenarios. There's a lot of other sub-level elites that don't like what's happening. They could get together, turn the tide. The system could realize they're not going to be able to carry this out, do their breakdown actuaries and realize they're not going to win. There's a lot of things that could happen. But you've got to understand that the situation we've reached. Look, I've got World War III news with Iran. I've got all this police state news. I've got economic news. It's all off the charts. Then I'm going to open the phones up for police and military. I'm Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us.
I hear the train coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
Okay.
I'm stuck in.
Let me just run over a smattering of the news. Then we'll go to your phone calls. Then I'll go back into all this in detail. But if you are police or military, there's no longer any denial. I'd like to hear from you about the fact that from Europe to the United States, from Canada to Australia, every Western country is fully overthrowing the Magna Carta. The Magna Carta is the basis of all of this common law. You can just type in Magna Carta overturned by judge, and you'll see articles all over England and Australia and New Zealand where they say the Magna Carta is dead. They're flaunting it. Obama became the head of the UN Security Council in violation of Article 1, Section 9. Never happened. Total violation of federal law and the Constitution for the president to be the head of a foreign body. It's happening. They are breaking our laws in front of us to set the precedent while throwing unconstitutional laws at us, throwing the book at the general public. Now, I've always told you they want to use the military. They want to secretly arrest us. Why? The globalists want to dominate. America is the prize. The biggest military, the wealth, everything. So while they've been sucking the wealth out of us, they've been setting up this global control grid. And now they know that we're awake to this and that we're going into a final phase. So they've set up Homeland Security. You know, police send me emails and call the show they did yesterday. And they talk about how ridiculous it is that the feds come in and say, you know, in the old days, we dealt with, shoplifters and crime and stuff like that. You will deal on a daily basis with truck bombs, improvised explosive devices, and Patriot groups shooting you. Now, today, that's ridiculous. That's one out of a million. But in a way, it's twisted and true. Because as the criminal government wages war against the people and has set up the architecture of their attack profile against veterans, retired police, conservatives, you're all in a database. It's on record. Just get ready for it. As this happens, as you become a persecuted class, they know large portions of you are actually going to fight back. And so instead of having to stage terror attacks like Oklahoma City, you're actually going to fight them. And, of course, they'll blow up some daycares and stuff like Oklahoma City to blame you for it, for PSYOP. But most of it's just going to be people that, well, I'm not going to sit here in my house and wait for them to come confiscate my guns. I'll just go out and face them. I mean, you don't sit there in your house once this stuff kicks off. Okay, but we're trying to stop that. I'm talking about this because that's what comes next. I keep telling you, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. I keep taking you right down to Z. And right now, we're down to basically down to Q or so. I mean, Z is not a nice place to be. Z's like living under Mao Zedong during his heyday. It's about like living in 1943 Germany. And people ask, well, why would elites do this? Because they're so full of arrogance, chutzpah, bravado, whatever you want to call it. Hubris. I mean, why did Corzine make a 40-to-1 bet with people's private bank accounts on MF Global? Because they're crazy. They're out of control. They're nuts. They're bold. They've gotten away with so much. Anybody who studied criminology knows this. Once a criminal gets away with things over and over and over again, they get out of control. They start thinking they're invincible. Why have I harped to police and military all these years? I'm getting chills right now. Because I studied history. I studied criminology. I started studying it because I thought it was entertaining when I was like 12 years old. You know, I was a jock who liked to read history books because they were laying around the house. And I picked them up and like, wow, this is really entertaining. All these battles and secret police and subterfuge groups and secret societies and German history and World War II and Confederate history and Northern history and Byzantine history and Japanese history. And then I went to college and they're like, world government's good and it's taking over. Your guns are bad. Your family's bad. And I'm like, I read about this. This sounds like Hitler. This is eugenics. I mean, I knew it because I'd read hundreds of history books. And then I got into reading books about criminals and psychopaths. First, I was reading books about gangsters and bank robbers. And then I started reading books about psychopaths. I started watching court TV with Jeffrey Dahmer trial. And I just got into this and I learned about the world. Most people know about football or whatever. I know about the world. And I'm going to ask you, police and military, you're where the rubber's going to meet the road. Is there anything you won't do? Is there any order you won't follow? Is there any line in the sand? Do you get what I'm saying? Here's the number. 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. Now I'm going to come back, hit the basic news, then go to your calls, and then start going back into it in more detail. Because the Iran situation, they're talking about shutting down the Strait of Hormuz. You name it right now. We'll be right back. 800-259-9231. Stay with us. Calling in. We've got military people calling in. I know that obviously you gentlemen and ladies are normally working during the weekday show. Weekday show is probably twice as big as the Sunday show, but I still love the Sunday show. It reaches over a million people, about a million and a half or so. But I've always noticed during the weekday broadcast, it's harder to get police and military to call in because they're working. But we do have one military, current serving military, and one police officer on hold. I'm going to get to you here in just a moment. But others need to call in. You need to call in if you're on your donut break or whatever. And you need to get past the fear that, oh my gosh, you know, this is all data-based, which it is. We need to be honest about that. You know what? If you get fired because they've got a database and you called into a talk radio show when you were off work. See, that just illustrates what I'm talking about. Of course, the truth is it just goes into a database. We need to be honest about how much trouble this country's in. Only by being honest about it can we turn this around. It's your First Amendment right, but it does show the chilling effect that's out there today. 800-259-9231. Is the toll-free number to join us. Okay, let me just go over the news I have today. I mentioned this yesterday when it was in the New York Times, and I was expecting this to happen because when Fast and Furious came out earlier in the year, CBS 60 Minutes did a whitewash and said it was a few gun shops where they allowed guns to be sold to cartels to track them. Of course, it turned out it was already in federal court. That's why CBS did the whitewash. that they were shipping tens of thousands of guns into Mexico, Honduras, but also Illinois, Indiana, California, Texas, Florida, to drug gangs to kill the competition that didn't launder its money through globalist banks. And it's all on record, the big banks laundering hundreds of billions a year. You want an example? You're a new listener? Wachovia, Wells Fargo last year admitted they laundered $376 billion in 2 years. Okay, it's a $500 billion a year, but that was their cut. And they didn't get any trouble for it. You know, there's a federal regulation that allows foreign drug dealers to invest in the stock market. The head of the New York Stock Exchange back in 99, Richard Grasso, I have the Reuters article somewhere around here. I've done shows on it. He went and was photographed with the head of the FARC saying, invest with us all your cocaine money or we'll have you invaded. The head of the FARC said no. It took him a year to kill him, but they did bomb him and kill him. And, of course, U.S. Special Forces went in, and they've got GPS planes that spray only the coca fields they don't own. It was a giant covert invasion to try to keep the prices up. Oh, you bet. Our military's there to enforce a $500 billion a year drug traffic into this country. Marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. They really hate methamphetamine because they can't control it. That's something the local police make money off of. Yeah, I see cases where sometimes little bitty towns have, you know, 20, 30 meth labs. Oh, and the police don't know. Of course, it'll also fry your brain and absolutely kill you. Speed kills. All this stuff's horrible. I'm not endorsing it. I'm just saying you make this stuff illegal, and it allows massive profits to corrupt your police, which is the plan. It's how the British took down the Chinese. Study the opium wars. It's mainline history. The Chinese were dumb enough to make drugs illegal, and the British said, we're taking over. And within 50 years, they had the whole country under their control by corrupting police, taking control of organized crime. All right, I said I'm going to your calls. See, I preface this. U.S. agents launder drug money report. French news agency. And this was in, again, New York Times yesterday. But, oh, they laundered the drug money and the drugs to track it, to understand it, it says. Citing unnamed current and former federal law enforcement, the newspaper said the agents primarily with the Drug Enforcement Agency have handled shipments of hundreds of thousands of dollars in illegal cash across borders. It said they did it to understand how the criminal operations move the money. Oh, they did it to understand. Oh, Satan consorted with demons in the pit of hell to learn how demons operate. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Dahmer kidnapped children and tortured them and raped them to find out about serial killers. No, 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 no. Unbelievable. I mean, this is like in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. And in the 20s during Prohibition, J. Edgar Hoover would go on radio and newsreels and then TV and say, there's no organized crime. It does not exist because they would only bust small people delivering bathtub gin and money that wasn't part of a larger gang. I mean, if you were trying to make your own whiskey or moonshine, and this is on record, and weren't laundering it through the Kennedys and the Capones and Bugsy Siegel and all the rest of them and the Rockefellers, they were the real kingpins over it all. Go research it. They would send police, the Untouchables. The Untouchables would come out to your shack and kill you. The ATF was the original whiskey regulators, going back to post-Civil War and the whiskey rebellion over the tax. The FBI and people and ATF, the whiskey regulators, they weren't coming and fighting gangsters. They'd come to your farm in the Depression if you were brewing whiskey to try to survive and sell it in the city, and they'd line you up and blow you and your entire family's heads off. Go research it. They'd line them up, Ma, Pa, everybody, with a Tommy gun and just kill you. Yeah, that's the kind of country we live in. That's what you do by making liquor illegal. Three times the alcohol. Okay, I'm preaching here. Three times the alcohol use. Go research it. Don't believe me. Go look the numbers. Under Prohibition, under 9.5 years of it. Totally corrupted the police, corrupted all. Organized crime exploded. And then at the end of that, they said, we got to make drugs illegal. We got to have something new here. All right. We've got that. Look at this. U.S. agents launder drug money report. See, it's all coming out. It's been in the federal court cases forever, but it's coming out. Feds may give loans to IMF to help Eurozone paper. They've been giving their subsidiary banks in Europe. See, that whole headline out of Reuters is a headline. It's not the Fed. It's not federal. The name is a lie. May give loans to the IMF. It's not loans. It's zero or minus interest loans, which they then loan out at 20, 30, 40% to governments and individuals to help Eurozone. And the other lie is they've already been giving it to them. And they're not giving it to somebody else. They're giving it to themselves. I mean, how many lies can you get in a headline? One, two, three, four, five. There is at least six lies in that headline. Talk about a tissue, a fabric of fraud. This is what we live under. And the average person is helpless at that level of deception. How do you unravel something that is a complete lie? They're already doing it. The Federal Reserve is at federal. It's giving it to its own subsidiary. And it just goes on and on. Look at this article. I knew what was going to happen last week whenever it came out that the 85-year-old woman in a wheelchair was taken behind closed doors and strip searched. Had her clothes taken off. I knew they would come out and say it wasn't true, and they did. Then when pressed, they said, we don't call it a strip search. See, when they grab your genitals or they take you behind closed doors and strip you down, it's not sexual assault. It's not a strip search. And lo and behold, Lenora Zimmerman outrages TSA, denies its strip search 85-year-old Long Island grandmother. And then there's another one here where other women, another elderly woman says she was exposed at the same airport, Kennedy Airport, where I had them, by the way, rob something out of my bag. I bought a couple little Tiffany things for my middle daughter. And they just opened up the packages and stole one of them. It's only worth about 80, 90 bucks, but they stole it. I mean, that's Elmira. And you know, I knew not even to say anything. Because I'm a scum citizen. And if they want to steal a Tiffany silver teething ring, good for the babies to chew on silver, it's why I got it. If they want to do that, that's just a little added goody good. You see? I'm a scumbag. I'm not allowed. All right, I'm going to the police phone calls. I'm going to shut up now. The Iran situation's off the chart. They're threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. It'll send oil conservatively $200 a barrel. You lack $7 a gallon? Well, that's what you're going to get. U.S. sources now say Iran has missing U.S. drone after denying it. It's now admitted what we told you years ago, that the West blows stuff up every week in Iran. It's all admitted. It's just not on the news. That's now being admitted. We're going to get to that. It's all crazy. Right now, let's go to your phone calls. I appreciate you holding. Who's been holding the longest? Dale is a police officer in Illinois. Then we'll go to bunch of military people. Adam is a police officer in Michigan. We have a cop in Washington, police officer. We're going to get to all those, a bunch of military people. I'm going to go to you right now. I'm going to try to shut up, have you make your point, and then I'm going to go to the next person because you know how my brain works. I never shut up. Let's go ahead and talk to Dale in Illinois. Dale, welcome.
Hello, Alex. Hey, by the way, it's the Soviet Socialist Republic of Illinois. Anyway, that's what we call it. I'm a 26-year vet police officer. I'm not going to tell you where, but I guess it doesn't really matter, but it's central Illinois. If it was up to us, we wouldn't have Chicago in the state, but it's not up to us. Long story short, we've got a bunch of guys that, and we've got like a phone chain. If by some chance one of us is at the station and or let's say if I'm at the station, we get the guy in the suit comes in and says, you're going to do this, that, and the other. One phone call from me generates probably about 35 phone calls in about 30 seconds, you know. As far as firearms are concerned, if you're going to buy them, learn to use them. It ain't going to do you a bit of good to have a pistol sitting there or a rifle or whatever. Because all that's going to do is get you in trouble.
I agree with you. Let me ask you a question, Dale, again, a police officer from Illinois. Is anybody that you're talking to concerned about them saying, we're going to use the military, we're going to put TSA on the streets, they're now doing it, we're going to have telescreens everywhere saying, spy on your neighbors? It's like they went and got a dystopic science fiction movie and said, let's make it reality. It's like 1984 on steroids, and we're going to allow citizens to disappear into black holes. Have police realized that once that starts, it doesn't give people any recourse but to absolutely resist? I mean, are police realizing how the globalists are trying to escalate a civil war on purpose?
Younger guys do. Younger guys have got no clue. I have a lot. I don't know. It's generational. I'm beyond. I'm 60 years old, and I've seen a lot. And the younger kids, we're trying to educate them. From what I've seen, we've been making some ground. Matter of fact, I had a rookie in the other day, and I sat him down and I said, "Hey, I said, if Bill Blow shows up at the station with a suit, and the chief brings us in and says we're going to go down this block, and we're going to do a checklist and see who has firearms, so on and so forth. What are you going to do?" And he says, "I'm not going to do it." I said, "Good." You know, and the other kid.
And the thing is, you don't even have to tell him no unless you want to. You can just go and say, everybody was gone, or my car broke down. I mean, you just don't have to follow unconstitutional orders.
I agree with you, but it's time for us guys in the blue and the brown and, you know, because our deputies wear brown, but the blue and the brown and the khaki green that the state police wear start standing up and telling the feds not only no, but hell no. We've got a 10th Amendment in this United States, supposedly, that says we do have states' rights, but that's been trounced on so bad that it's ridiculous. Matter of fact, it's been trounced on right now so bad it was like it was prior to the Civil War.
Oh, it is. Yeah. I mean, they've gotten. In fact, it was Illinois where we got the documents and had, with his voice disguised, a in the town he's in. It wasn't called a mayor. The head selectman, whatever you call it. We had him on, and the feds came in and said, "You have to armor the police station, and you have to get ready because the veterans will attack you with improvised explosive devices, and it is coming, and the flu's coming, and will kill millions, and Chicago will implode." And the point is that they're just trying to get the police ready for war with the people. Have you had similar attempted brainwashing go on in your area?
They tried, but downstate is a little bit different than it is in the Chicago area. But they've tried. Now, after 9/11, we hardened the station. That did happen, and they did that all over the place. You know, put the little blockades in front of the station, so on and so forth, so you couldn't drive a car through it and stuff. But their big fear is not so much, and they're trying to twist it a little bit, Alex. Their big fear is that when the state and or the federal government says we're broke, and you're not going to get your state aid, your food stamps, so on and so forth, of major riots starting and it escalating.
No, but that's true, and the banksters engineer it, and then I'll even be in Austin begging for the military if a group of people are coming towards me burning things. But again, that won't happen here because we have guns. Where it is going to happen is Chicago, New York, and L.A. I mean, those are places to get out of.
Yep. I do have a comment for you, though.
Real sure, quick, go ahead.
Thinking about it. The day you run into trouble, you need to put something up on your website that you need help. And believe me, my friend, I know some people will be down there in a heartbeat.
Well, God bless you. I appreciate your call. God bless you, Dale. Good talking to you. We have to remember why the media shows all the police brutality videos and everything, because they're trying to turn us all against each other. And they're trying to hold up corrupt police as the example so that we can have a war with each other. We do not need to do this. And that's putting it lightly. Okay, who's up next here? Let's go to Mark, a police officer in Washington, then Adam, police officer in Michigan, then we'll get to a military man. Mark is military and others. Mark, you're on the air from Washington. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. How are you, Alex?
Oh, I'm pretty upset. Everything's unfolding like we thought it would.
Well, I enjoy your radio program. I've been listening for about a year. I called in several months ago and talked to you in length. I enjoyed our conversation, but I wanted to make a point. I spent time with a buddy of mine that's a officer in the Marine Corps, and we were having dinner, and I said, "Hey, if the United States government wants the Second Amendment pulled, and they're going to start taking guns away, and are you guys willing to do it?" And he said, "Yeah, we're ordered to do it. We're going to do it." And I said, "Well, what if Americans try to defend themselves. And he says, well, hey, if they're going to shoot at us, you know, it's about the buddy next to us. You know, we're going to take care of business. And I said, well, what is your opinion on, you know, doing police actions in law enforcement? He goes, well, we're already trained for it. He says, I think it's actually a good idea. And I said, well, you know what? I said, there's clearly a separation between police and military. I said, you know, when you guys clear a building, you guys throw in a couple grenades and go in, take care of business. I said, well, we don't look at the building search the same way, and it's the same way with police work. You know, we...
Tell you what, stay there. Yeah. Listen, folks, and it's going to end up happening probably. When the military starts killing people, you guys, this is not like you're fighting a bunch of malnourished Iraqis. I mean, it is going to be really bad. For every U.S. citizen you kill, you're going to have 100 veterans coming after you. I mean, it's going to be like moose hunting season. We'll be right back. Stay with us. All right, we're talking to Mark, and then we're going to go to Adam, military man, and another Mark who are military. But listen, I've got a lot of family in the military, and I've got a lot of other contacts, and we've been to the drills. I've got the footage. The Marines especially, I hear some Marines calling and say, we'll never do it. And I've been to the drills where they train to kill Americans and admit it. And I mean unarmed Americans. And let's all be honest, the Marines are sent overseas and kill everybody in villages they go into. I mean, every once in a while they prosecute people for a massacre or something. If the Marines rape some 15-year-old girl and then kill them, they go to prison for it. But if they just kill everybody, then they get a medal for it. I mean, that's come out in the news. So it's kind of a schizophrenic type deal. When it comes out, they get in trouble. But you cannot criticize the Germans with this attitude because they said, hey, I'm ordered to take guns and arrest people. I'm going to do it. And that's what they did, release the military on the Germans and the countries they invaded. It's 101 for North Korea, every other dictatorship, every other corrupt system. And I tell you, Mark, I'm going to be honest with you. If I had a friend like that saying, I'll take guns, I'll kill Americans, that's not the type of friend I want just because, Mark, when the time comes, he'd probably come to your house and kill you if somebody told him to. I mean, it is a type of moral cowardice that really makes me sick. Perhaps your friend Mark is also very ignorant. We were all once dumb as dirt, but I can't imagine being an officer in the Marine Corps who's sworn an oath, the Bill of Rights, Constitution, the military code, because I know it's still taught, even just a few years ago, that you're not supposed to do that. Go ahead and finish up, Mark. I appreciate you calling.
No, he's highly educated. He's got a master's degree, but It'd have to be in a situation like, some kind of terrorist attack or something like that, you know, that we talked about. It isn't just going to go in and kick doors and take people's guns. But I want to make another point. I'm pro-military. My friend and I have been friends for a long time. We've gone to college together. But the point I want to make is it makes sense that the Congress and Senate want to get this bill passed to have the military on the streets because they know that seasoned police officers like myself are not going to violate people's rights and we are not going to put the boots to American citizens. So it makes sense for them to have military personnel, especially hiring young police officers who've just come out of the military who are combat hardened. Look, these guys don't have a problem taking care of business. We had a shooting in a town several months ago and a guy came out with a gun and they took care of business. But one of the officers that was put on administrative leave, because that's normal when we get involved in police shooting, didn't understand why he had to be taken off the street for 3 weeks, because in Iraq, when they're at war and they kill somebody, they move on. And he wanted to get back to work. And those are the kind of people that police departments in bigger cities are hiring, because
exactly
they
got internal memos in Texas where they said, don't let anybody know this, but we're only hiring state police now who are former combat vets. The younger, the better. This is an internal memo. We published it, did a report on it a few months ago, which is discriminatory. But again, military kills people, breaks things, occupies. And that's what's so incredibly off the charts. And you're absolutely right. Plus, they don't understand that how illegal this is. So it's crazy. And of course, they're going to give your friend some psyop reason this is being done. You're absolutely right. Amazing call. Anything else you needed to add, Mark?
I just want to say that, listen, that people need to understand the majority of the police in this country were decent.
I'll tell you what, this is too important. Stay there. 1 minute break. We're going to come back, and then I promise I'm going to get to Adam, military man, Mark, and others. But Mark in Washington State, stay there.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Look, having laws on the books, when Obama signs this, Obama says he may not. He says he has the executive power to do it without Congress. So it's even more treasonous if that's possible. Like a cherry on top. With the National Defense Authorization Act 2012, when they say, we'll arrest you secretly, you'll never be seen again, we can kill you, that takes it to another level where war is declared, illegal war. That's against the laws of war in all of modern history. When criminal foreign banks take over, who are on record laundering money, on record dealing the drugs, at that point, it's publicly illegitimate. There's no doubt about it. Now, finishing up with police officer in Washington State, Mark, were you able to get through to your friend? Were you able to wake him up, this Marine Corps officer who you went to college with, about the fact that following illegal, unconstitutional orders, I mean, what about his oath? What about keeping his oath? And then you had a point you were trying to finish making, Mark.
No, I mean, my friend's highly educated, and he's a thinker, but, you know, orders are orders. That's basically where we left it at. I explained to him my situation, and you know, and I think what I wanted to say is the American people need to understand that, and I hope they believe that, that most police officers are decent, we're doing our job, and listen, the feds know they need our help, because listen, they come into my community, and they want, you know, Joe Q citizen arrested because, you know, he spoke out at a rally or something. Well, he's on his own. He's going to go have to get help somewhere else because he's not going to get it from me.
Well, why they're putting CIA in the threat fusion centers. They're you know, federally deputizing as a sub-deputy. That's why they're trying to federalize right now. How is that process going in Washington State right now?
See, in my area, we have a good relationship with the feds. I mean, the guys on the ground, they're just like us. They use common sense. I don't see the federalization. I see kind of the unification of counties. You know, smaller departments are getting absorbed and going to the sheriff's office. You know, they're bringing the dispatch centers. You know, maybe they'll just have one dispatch center for the whole county. That you're seeing stuff like that, and they're. But
yeah, they're unifying the codes, which sounds reasonable to go under Homeland Security codes, but you want your own local codes. You don't want to be, we have jurisdictions for a reason.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, at least in my area right now, and plus Washington State, I mean, if you want a state to live in where they go, you know, honor the rights and probably give a lot more leeway to criminals and just the regular citizen, this is the place to live. I mean, this is one of the most toughest areas to be a police officer in because we have so many more rules than other states. I mean, for instance, if we have a traffic stop and the passenger's got a seatbelt on, we can't even talk to that person. I mean, they can get out of the car and walk away, and there's nothing we can do. You know, in California, they can arrest somebody for being...
And listen, I know that's a hassle, but it's just like the Clements deal... where the baseball player on the steroids got off because the feds showed hearsay to the jury. And the judge let him go because it's better that 10 guilty people go free than one innocent person go to jail. And justice and liberty is a messy thing, but it's a lot better than North Korea, Mark. And do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I agree with you. But listen, we're dealing with the same people all the time. So if they get away with something, we're going to get them again. And I think that's the American people need to understand. We're dealing with the bottom 10% of society. 90% of Americans, awesome people, love talking to them, don't have an issue with them. We're dealing with the same people over and over again. And really the biggest problem in the criminal justice system is not the police. It's the court system. It's a joke.
No, I agree. They release the violent offenders and put the nonviolence in there. And it's all by plan. They want the criminals out there harassing everybody as a pretext for more control. Great points, Mark. Appreciate your service. A true peace officer. Good to hear from you. All right. We got Marines, Army soldiers, you name it, coming up and the news.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Incredible developments taking place in our world. It is 12:08 Central Standard Time, blasting out here on the AM and FM dial, global shortwave, and of course the internet at Infowars.com. Did I mention XM Radio as well, channel 166? Okay, let me just mention some of the news, then I'm going to take four or five more calls from police and military that are calling in, giving us their take on the unbelievable National Defense Authorization Act. And I wrote some notes about this act last night whenever I was going on Coast to Coast AM with Rob Simone, their fill-in host there. This is the end of Posse Comitatus, the 1878 law barring the military from engaging in domestic operations. Remember all the years we told you they were getting rid of this behind the scenes? Oh, conspiracy theory. Now it's here. It allows the secret arrest, indefinite detention, no charges, torture, and killing of American citizens. The White House put memos out last Monday saying, we can even kill people. Okay, so that's beyond North Korea. I mean, this is just pure evil. And the game plan is, you notice this is all happening as the world economy has imploded. And the police are being told, prepare for total collapse, which was engineered by the banksters, the very ones calling for a new world order. The same thing's being done in Europe right now. But it doesn't just declare us the enemy and allow the military to operate here. It's worldwide. It's a declaration of war against laws, against due process, against countries worldwide. It's the U.S. military, which is not the U.S. military. It is the occupied, captured forces of the banksters, literally. Of course the American military doesn't fight its own citizens. Of course they don't train to take guns. Of course they don't kill citizens. Of course they don't do these things. It's not our military. The German military was not the German military under Hitler. But the Germans still went along with it because it looked like their military. Their military followed the orders. We're going to go to Adam. We're going to go to military man Mark Ezekiel here in just a moment. We've got the TSA. I told you years ago would have checkpoints on the highways because I watched their meetings on C-SPAN. Now they're doing it. And man, I've seen these newscasts where in Tennessee and California and other areas, you pull up at just a random checkpoint on a major highway, and boy, those state police have got their Marine Corps, you know, drill sergeant hats on. They've got their hands and fists shaking. They're looking at the little kids and the moms. They're pulling, get out of there. I'm searching you. I mean, they are really getting ready for war against us. And I hope the police and military realize if 1% fights back against this, if you actually start arresting people who are on political pickup list, the word will get out even if you shut the web off. And when people pull up to these things, it's not cowardice that's held the American people back. It's incredible restraint. But once the guns are pulled out of their holsters... I mean, do you have any idea what's going to happen to you if you try to run checkpoints and arrest people and stuff as you're trained for? And look, the bankers are going to give you the order. You're like, well, it's crazy. It'll be an absolute civil war. That's the plan. Order out of chaos. They don't care how many citizens get killed. They don't care how many police and military get killed. They like it. They are publicly under NLE09, Cooperative Nugget. Type these names in. You'll see the video, the drills, the FEMA press releases. Have 15 countries ready to invade the U.S. You're like, that'll never happen here. Really? Really? Cross-human animal clones that never happen. Foster children having chemicals, biologicals tested on them, radiologicals, never happen. Government-run health care, never happen. Obama as the head of the UN, never going to happen. All these wars and lies and cameras on street corners and microphones hidden in trees, never going to happen. All happened. All happened. Police taking blood at checkpoints, not going to happen. Happened. Nazi Germany, wasn't going to happen. Happened. Soviet Russia, wasn't going to happen. Happened. All, folks, tyranny is the norm. And again, it's going to happen because the globalists are public about all this. It's all public. That's how I know what's coming next. That's how I made all these films. It's how I've been accurate, because I'm just a regular guy from Texas who happened to run across all this decades ago and got upset about it. It's a normal response to learn about this and to take action. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's the federal government, it's too big, we can't beat this, it's illegitimate. They're on record laundering $500 billion a year in drug money. The government's on record shipping the drugs in. Every major federal agency is run by criminals. The good news is there's still a lot of good people in the stratas, so that's why you keep seeing these people get busted. How many deputy heads of Homeland Security have been caught with children, pedophiles, or caught in the new bestiality scandal with kids and stuff involved at the CDC? Who do you think they can get at the top who will do stuff like this? Crazy sickos. Stalin and Hitler both opened up the prisons and hired all the aggravated felons. On record. What do you think the system's done? They have found the bad apples, and they're putting them at the head of every power structure. I'm going to say it again, and then I'm going to cover some more news and go to your calls. We learned earlier this year, Bloomberg and AP, that, and it was just reported like it was no big deal and didn't get any national attention, that Prudential and a whole bunch of other big mega insurance companies in 1999 met with the Pentagon and the Veterans Affairs Office and made a deal to allow them to take the death benefits of World War II vets right through to current vets at the time and on, where they send you paperwork that tricks you, the government approved this, to say sign here and get your money, but then it's got some legalese that you can't understand, and then they take your money. I mean, these are, criminal isn't the word, it's just a word. It's unlimited evil. And when humans start bowing down to authority, just because it's in a suit, and just because it's on TV, and just because it reads well off a teleprompter, that's when you get disaster. And it's here. I haven't even gotten into Iran yet. I haven't even gotten into the economy yet. It is so fundamental when they say Posse Comitatus is gone, we're going to use the military against the American people and anybody else we want worldwide, and by the way, we'll secretly arrest you with no charge. You can disappear into a black hole. I mean, that is worse than I even thought they would do in the next step. They're going for everything because the globalists have set up a Ponzi scheme, 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion, of fake counterfeit money. They put their people in over every major government of the world while they were running their previous scams, and now they're taking the whole world down and announcing we'll have a world depression if you don't make the six mega banks and the Federal Reserve owners of the planet. We're going to shut everything off. They're holding us hostage. They got a gun to our head, an economic gun, and they're backed up by paramilitary police and military. The video games, the dramas, the brainwashing, it's all about fighting the American people. The training manuals, all of it. Boy Scouts training to take on veterans. You're like, well, they're 14-year-olds. Yeah, that was 3 years ago. They're now 17. The point is, it's right out of a movie. They got the government youth. They got the domestic security forces. They've got the checkpoints being set up. They've got the neighbors being trained to spy. And a lot of people are not cowards, folks. A lot of people are going to go to that point where they can't back off anymore. And then I'm trying to stop this from happening. Okay, folks, I've told you everything that's going to happen so far. Let me tell you something. This is what's going to happen. Lawlessness is going to happen. The police are going to be forced to march out, the military against the citizens. The citizens are going to start fighting back, and it's not going to be pretty. So the public doesn't join with the citizens. They're going to commit a bunch of atrocities. Black ops will. Foreign operatives and others. Horrible atrocities that'll be pinned on true Americans. What you'll call, what they'll call, you know, the right-wing terrorist. And it's going to be police in their armored compounds, law and order breaking down, and they're just going to let America basically fall apart. That is seriously being considered. And or the elite is insane because it's not going to go the way they think it is. I can't tell you how many veterans of Vietnam, even Korea, that are still alive, some World War II, but mainly Korea, Vietnam, and then current veterans and people who, if you cut their pension fund that they're guaranteed to get, they're going to start shooting people. Okay? I mean, this will give a new meaning to the word going postal. There are a lot of people that don't care about dying, ladies and gentlemen. There are a lot of people who don't want to go out and kill people either. But if they are forced to, it's not going to be pretty. Look, when the good guys start killing people, it's never pretty. Do you understand that? The good guys will stomp you bad guys absolutely into the dirt. And I hope you bad guys understand that. I think you do deep down. That's why you're so scared of the good guys. And you're sticking your hand down a badger hole. We're going to go to break, and I promise I'm going to come back to Adam, a police officer in Michigan he's been holding. And then we're going to get to folks who've been holding the longest, military man, and Mark and Ezekiel and Corey and others. But we're at the crossroads right now. And you notice what comes along with economic collapse. The Iranians threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. That's 40% of the world's oil. It'll go to $200 a barrel. All these new wars. Syria may attack Israel as a way to get the public off their back, which is absolutely what governments do. All these White House memos about how great a terror attack would be. That's how dumb they think we are. They write public memos. They're shutting down our power plants all over the country. That's in the news. I mean, it is just, we have let criminals take over. It's called tyranny. It isn't pretty. And we need to back off. Like the Cuban Missile Crisis or any other event, all of you that work for this system, you need to back off now. And the public does not need to be looking. Friends, this isn't a joke, it isn't a game, it isn't a drill. They're talking about the implosion of the euro into a new global government. War with Iran. Checkpoints all over the country. This is a planned takeover. And the globalists want power and control. They don't care about wrecking societies. In fact, they rationalize it as a post-industrial world. That's what they call for. All right, let's go to Adam in Michigan and others. Then I'm going to get to the news, and believe me, it's powerful. Adam, who's a police officer in Michigan, what do you say about what we've been covering here today?
Alex, you're fabulous. I've been a police officer here in Michigan for 12 years. 90% of that time was spent on Michigan's largest department. I'm in another large department now. I've been here for a year. By all means, I plan on upholding the Constitution, defending it. It's just amazing. I've been listening to your show for a long time, about 8 years now, maybe longer. First time caller. You know, a lot of the public sees us as, sees public safety people, police, fire, military, as heroes. And I know you hate to hear it, but a lot of us think you're a hero as well, and your crew. So thanks for what you guys do.
Well, thank you. And that's what's sad about it. There are a lot of heroes who are in public safety. It's just the people running it at the top are definitely bad. And so that's why it all comes down to the moral and spiritual decision of who you're going to serve.
Absolutely. I'm constantly talking to police officers about all of this information that you've given me. Thank you again. Always talking to them about, you know, the bottom line is uphold the Constitution, defend the Constitution. No matter what happens, no matter what they tell us, we took the oath. I took it dead serious. Defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. Period. End of story. That's what I tell them.
Let me ask you a question. You're on the second largest or one of the other big forces there. Obviously, you were on the Detroit before that. Let me ask you this question. It's now coming out the government did ship the guns into Mexico, that the feds are shipping in drugs. It's back in the news today. Are any of the police talking about that? Are any of the police seeing the TSA groping grandmothers? Because look, I've covered what was going to happen. Others have said what's going to happen. Now it's happening. I mean, is the Patriot movement that's been so demonized, is it getting any more credibility with police, or what's the mindset right now?
I don't hear a lot of guys talking about it unless I bring it up, and then we get into a big discussion about it. So I really don't hear a lot about it. But on a positive note, we did go through some training recently here, talking about the open carry of the firearm, and I couldn't believe that they were actually telling us, as long as it's visible, we have no right to talk to them. We have no probable cause to stop and talk to them about anything. As long as they're carrying the gun outside and we can see it, that's their right.
Adam, you have just energized the key to everything here. People 5 years ago thought it was insane when folks did open carry, but a right that's not exercised is lost. Police all over the country flipped out. Then they and the public and the media flipped out. Hardball and all those people, Slimeball, wanted to act like guns were illegal even in your house, where 12 years ago or 13 years ago, I had the carpet cleaner call the cops on me because I had a gun case with shotguns in it, and he watched dramas based in New York where guns are illegal, or he tried to call the cops. They stopped him and explained, no, it's legal. Here we are 13 years later, where all over the country, people are open carrying and demonstrating it publicly. I mean, it's like a civil rights issue. It's like black people riding at the front of the bus or going into lunch counters. It's like, no, this is our right. We're going to do it. It is taking back our basic freedom and then forcing the political people who want to act like guns are evil to be honest with the police and say, no, it's their right. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I agree. I actually saw a guy here in the city where I work open carrying, and I couldn't resist. I said, excuse me, sir, can I talk to you? And he thought he was going to be in trouble. I said, no. I said, I want to thank you for carrying that weapon. I appreciate it. I know that if I needed help, you'd be here to help me. And he was all excited. I was excited. I think it's great. It's fabulous.
What about this secret arrest of Americans? I understand you're saying you'll follow the Constitution, but is there any discussion about that? I mean, I wouldn't blame them if there isn't, because there's been almost no news coverage of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, if there's no news coverage, then they don't know. You know, I remember being just ignorant as a lot of Americans. When 9/11 occurred, you know, I wouldn't let the kids check the mail because of the anthrax. And I mean, I was all in, you know, oh, we've got to get rid of the Constitution. And there was a young college student at Starbucks that was talking to me about who are you going to vote for, Kerry or Bush? And he was talking mumbo jumbo. The only thing I remember during that entire conversation was Infowars.com. That's the only thing I remember. So I'm constantly trying to talk to guys about listening to alternative media, especially you, number one on top of the list. Stop watching the stupid boob tube. All that information is crap. So
it is. God bless you. Wow. Isn't it heartening to hear all these great police officers? Folks, we're going to be tested in this time. The Republic is bleeding to death on the ground right now, but it can always rise again. We breathe light into it. It's Republic Reborn, 1776 worldwide. All right, I'm going to rampage through the next 5-6 calls, and I promise, news blitz straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, Infowars.com. Prison Planet. Okay, I'm going to go to Military Man, Mark Military, Ezekiel, and Corey here in just a moment. And then for the balance of the broadcast, I'm going to cover news, and we have a guest popping in, constitutional law expert, legal advisor to the Ron Paul campaign, Bruce Fein, on the NDAA. I know I've been talking about this a lot the last few weeks. First, we had to overcome the PSYOP that it didn't affect citizens. But when they were nailed down on it, they said, no, Senator McCain, Senator Williams, all of them, Graham, they had to admit that, yes, indeed, this is for U.S. citizens and domestically and is the end of posse comitatus, and citizens can just be grabbed and disappear into a dungeon. Wow, that is so incredibly creepy. And it's, I keep saying, what's Congress going to do next? Now, we've done an hour and a half of broadcast here, and I haven't plugged any of the sponsors or the way we fund ourselves here. But I am offering, until Christmas, all 18 of my films on DVD. That's Endgame, 9/11 Chronicles, Order of Death, Obama Deception, Fall of the Republic, Police State, Rise of FEMA, which breaks down what's happening right now. So important. It's available right now at Infowars.com. It is your purchase of the books, the videos, the support of the sponsors that funds this operation. We also have the Ron Paul 2012 t-shirts. We have the bumper stickers at cost, so you can get those out to people and spread the word of liberty. I can't tell you how many people, like that last police officer called in, were woken up by somebody at a coffee shop. Tell them about Infowars.com. Go one further. Tell them about Infowars.com. Get a copy of Obama Deception, Endgame, Fall of the Republic. Make copies of it. I want you to. I don't authorize you to. I beg you to. Air it on Access Television. You don't have to go get your own Access show. You should. Maybe your town doesn't have it. Drive 20 miles once a week. Go find who the Patriot person is on the local station. Give them the DVD. Ask them to play it. I mean, just take action. You'll never have any effect if you don't take action. The power of getting these DVDs. You can do all your Christmas shopping basically at once. You can get 18 films, 18 DVDs, give them to friends and family. They have nice, you know, color cover packaging so that it looks professional. It is professional. So people tend to think they're getting a good gift and say, check this out. Tell me what you think of it. Here's your Christmas present. Infowars.com or 888-253-3139. Now, they're scheduled to arrive tomorrow. They're not on the shopping cart yet, but you wanted them, you got them. Infowars.com flags. And all the orders that get here by the 19th, that gives you basically 9 days, all the orders that get here by the 19th, or I guess more than 9 days, what am I talking about? Suddenly can't do math. 14 days. All the orders that get here by the 19th will get to you here in the U.S. before Christmas. After that, we can't guarantee it. But again, we're going to have the InfoWars flags in soon. We've got the Don't Tread on Me flags and a lot more. People kept requesting InfoWars flags. We had to manufacture them. Got a whole bushel of them coming in. And we'll also have some signed ones available for folks to keep requesting that. Infowars.com. Okay. Man, just incredible news. I've got one here out of the Baltimore Sun. Rash of twilight-induced seizures prompts warning. You see, the flicker rate on TV puts the average person into a place between being awake and asleep. It's a twilight, pun intended, type sleepwalking, brain algorithm wavelength. That's why the public seems like they're in a trance. They literally are. In fact, well, I'm going to get to it later. I mean, that's the kind of news I got. It's all coming up. Right now, let's hurry through the calls. I appreciate everybody holding. And I was just about to go to the police officer, and then I see it says they're already on air. What's their name, John? Okay, but we had the cop I was about to go to. He dropped off right as I was going to him. I apologize for taking so long and pontificating. Yeah, because I see I got this new computerized fancy phone system, and it's got how long they've been on and who they are. You know, their name, where they're calling from, and if they volunteer what they want to talk about. And then I'm just used to the name and the state, not how long they've been on hold or whatever. Let's go to Military Man in Florida. If that police officer can get back in, we'll go right to you, 800-259-9231, just because I really enjoy talking to the police especially. It's been very informative today. Let's go to Military Man in Florida. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I'm a former active duty, currently serving reservist here, and I just want to speak to my fellow brothers in arms here that piggyback off of what Mark said a second ago, that we took an oath to defend, and that means, if need be, giving up your life for the ideals of the Constitution. And the second part of that is that we swear that so help me God. And that means that one day, if you violate that, you're going to have to answer before our Creator. That you're not just breaking, you know, our ideals, our laws, our rules. These were presented by God because He is our Creator.
Well, oaths are a big thing. And, I mean, when you swear an oath, it's big medicine, you know, as the witch doctors would say. But, I mean, if you just look at history, look at the crooks in Washington. They have a 9% approval rating in Congress. Why would any police officer or military person do things that they know is unconstitutional for a bunch of crooks, a bunch of scum? Do you see what I'm saying, military man?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sir, I do. Absolutely. And it's time for us to choose a side. You can't be sitting on the sidelines. You know, the Bible says you cannot be lukewarm. You can only choose a side. And the Bible also says, if he is for us, who can be against us? So I think we have an absolutely a strong chance of overthrowing these people and taking care of business for what we need to.
Well, and it's not like we're just being taken over by some boss hog type folks. These are hardcore eugenicists who've said that they want to forcibly reduce world population. These are the nastiest psycho control freaks, sadist, that you could imagine. You can't just give in to them. They don't just want to dominate and run everything. These are horrible, horrible people. And it's only going to get worse from here on out. Great points. Anything else?
Yes, I just want to add that from my cold, dead fingers, that's when you'll have my guns.
Well, God bless you. They're also taking people's children. They're taking people's property without due process. I mean, it's a lot of stuff that's going on. And look, they're putting chemicals in the water that increase cancer, that addle the mind. Yeah, I mean, I don't just get up here and say that most fluoride manufacturers, because it's the leftover toxic waste from three different industries, fertilizer, nuclear, and aluminum, they don't just dump sodium fluoride in your water that increases cancer and all the rest of it. They add radioactive isotopes that are mined out of the same phosphate mines. I mean, and I've been saying this for years. Now it's finally in the news. News goes with its Geiger counters to the city pipes and goes, wow, it's 20 times what it should be. And then the feds go, we don't know why that's there. And they have all these investigative reports going, gee golly, is it in the water aquifer? No, it's added to the water. Technically, because it's out of the same limestone aquifers, they mine these phosphates. There's sometimes some radon, some uranium, some, but this is added. Again, people come to face-to-face with reality and they're like, that can't be true. Go look it up. The people running our society put radioactive isotopes in the water. These are sickos. Because if you were healthy and had your testosterone level or your estrogen level at the right level, if you're a woman, I mean, I've seen the numbers over 35% of women above the age of 30 now have thyroid disorders. Women's hair is falling out everywhere. It's because of the fluoride and other things they're putting in the water. Diabetes, cancer, all this stuff. There's a reason, even if you work out and eat healthy, almost if you're going to have problems, folks. See, a lot of cops and military think they're going to choose a side. Well, I'll go with the New World Order. I'll get some power and I'll be safe. You can't join it. See, that's the thing. That's the trick of the devil. Even if you don't believe in the devil, let's just say, you know, evil in the world, is that you think you choose it. It's all really a fraud. In fact, George Norrie told a story when I was on with him a month ago, and so I'm going to butcher it right here. A politician dies, and he goes up to heaven, and he goes up to the Golden Gate, and St. Michael or whoever it is there at the gate. I'm going to butcher the story. And the politician goes up, and he says, oh, great, I get to get into heaven. And he brings him on in, and St. Michael says, now, wait a minute. You're going to get to make a choice here. You're going to get to elect if you want to go to heaven or hell. First, I want you to take this elevator down to hell and come back and then tell me where you want to go. And really, this is a metaphor for life. And the politician who's gone to heaven says, well, let me look around here a little bit. And he sees people sitting around on the clouds, playing harps and stuff. And he says, no, I want to stay here. And he goes, nope, I'm going to send you to check. And he goes, all right, I guess so. So he goes down the elevator, opens up. There's the devil in a tuxedo, beautiful women, drinking martinis, jazz band playing. Everything's great. And he says, wow, this is what hell's like? And he goes, oh, yeah, I don't believe everything you're told. Yeah. And he goes, well, I'm going to go back up and tell him my choice. He goes back up, sees people playing harps, sitting on clouds, you know, just sitting around talking. And he goes, I've made my decision. I'm glad you told me to go check. I want to go to hell. And so the politician goes back down, the elevator opens back up, devil grabs him, throws him in a big pot of lava to be tortured forever. And he says, but it was wonderful. It was great. You said that this is what hell was like. And the devil looks at him and says, that was before the election. He elected. You all elect. And again, even if you don't believe in God, what comes around goes around. When you have a society where nobody cares about anybody else and people will go along with anything and I'll shoot anybody if the government says, I'll confiscate guns if they say. I mean, you talk about that 15, 16 years ago and you get calls saying, you're nuts, that'll never happen. Now we're having to have discussions about, well, some military says they will and the government's getting ready for it. See what we've become by successive approximation, by incremental moves. This is what we've become. And it's just going to get crazier from here on out. Because it's true that you start changing the country one person at a time. The public has degenerated. The family has degenerated. I mean, I was a carpet cleaner for one summer, folks. I've been in a bunch of houses. Let me tell you, it isn't pretty. I've seen a snapshot of what police see, and that's what they see the public as, because that's all they see is the bottom of the barrel. We are a country going into judgment. All right, let's go to Mark, who's military in Oklahoma. Mark, thanks for holding. You're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. I liked your joke. I really appreciate that one. In the Oklahoma Army National Guard in the 45th Infantry Brigade. And I'm about to tell you that I don't really think a lot of the military personnel are probably going to resist as much as everybody might say they will. We were deployed in Iraq in 2007, and you know, we did a lot of things that you can probably imagine isn't very moral, but we get home around night, you know, chatting and stuff, and most of them really seem to have no regrets of what was happening. And you know, confiscating weapons or, you know, arresting people, whatever we were doing, they didn't seem to mind it very much.
Yeah, in Iraq, really they've even got body scanners now, and they biometrically scan people, shaking down families, grabbing kids, giving them to the CPS of Iraq. That's basically what you did, right?
We didn't have those kind of machines. We just did the old-fashioned checkpoints of what we used. And, yeah, we did a lot of things that I don't really want to discuss, you know, just things like immoral, and had made my peace with God about it. But
did you just go into houses and just throw hand grenades into houses with families in them and stuff like that?
Well, bang grenades first, and then if that didn't do the trick, then we'd finish them off. But yeah. Unfortunately. But,
yeah. So that kind of did something. I mean, did that get you closer to God, though, seeing dead kids?
Unfortunately, yeah, I wish it didn't have to come to that route. I wish it had been a much better thing that had happened.
What kind of switch did that throw in you forever? Because I think I heard a child in the background. Do you think about those kids every time you look at your children?
Absolutely, Alex. Absolutely, every day. And, you know, the worst part of it is you get back and the guys don't even seem to care. You go back to your unit and you're sitting around at night playing cards or whatever else we were doing, playing Nintendo, whatever. Didn't seem to matter. Most of them just blew it off like it was nothing, you know.
Well, Mark, you better thank God. You better thank God for that pain you've got. You know why you've got pain? That's because you've got a soul and a conscience, and you've got your guardian angel, my friend. That's what you're feeling. And those people that don't feel something, heaven help them. Please continue.
Well, and you know, that's something I've had to live with for a while now, but you know, the other guys, you know, they don't seem to have a lot of compassion about that stuff. You know, there were some that did, but the officers just thought of it as routine, you know. You know, we had a lieutenant over there that just thought it was funny, you know. He did take pictures with his cell phone. That's what he would do. And I don't know what he would do with the pictures, who knows, but that's one thing he would do is take pictures with his cell phone with it. You know, he thought it was funny. It's sad, but I don't think when push comes to shove here that some of them are going to resist, no doubt, but majority, Alex, I really don't think it's going to happen.
Now, they're going to try to publicize how patriots are routed when the military takes them out, but You understand the rule of attrition. Can you, just as a military person, give me your view? If 1% of 150 million gun owners decide to go out and just walk into a coffee shop or somebody in their backyard, because it's not like the public's just going to sit there and line up like with the Redcoats. I mean, if a 1,500,000 combatants decide to go out and bag one military person, what's going to happen?
Oh, we'd be gone. Yeah, second. Yeah, because not only are there more of everybody else than us, but you have to figure they know where we live, they know where we work.
Yeah, I mean, I hope the people that are going to follow these orders realize what they're releasing. I mean, they're releasing absolute hell. I mean, and again, the globalists think everybody's cowards like them. They think all these vets and people haven't attacked yet because they're cowards. It's the opposite. They don't understand. They just have no idea. And again, I want to avert this, but and I'm not saying you guys didn't face a lot in Iraq, but from talking to a lot of veterans, a bunch of disheveled, poor, malnutritioned Iraqis, it's not going to be like that here in the United States.
Well, even the gangs here are better organized than the little thugs over there, you know. I guess I shouldn't even call them thugs, really. They're defending their own property, I guess. But you know, if we were to face MS-13 or something like that here, I really don't think there'd be much of a chance, because we may have better arms, but, you know, we don't have that mentality to want to stick there and fight it out to the end. You know, we're not defending our homes here if we're kicking doors and stealing guns.
It's amazing. Absolutely. The Mexican military can't stand up against the drug gangs. Look, when people are ready to die, you can't stop them. And the thing is, the globalists are starting fights with people that don't have a choice. God bless you, my friend. More calls straight ahead. How would you take down America? Well, you take over its government. You'd slowly use its power to build up your power. You dismantle its Bill of Rights and Constitution. You'd have the cover of Newsweek call for an end to the Constitution and claim it had caused all the problems. You'd put a steady group of criminals in government and let them get away with their crimes. In news today, Herman Cain has come out. He was saying he'd do it this morning and endorse Newt Gingrich. Wow. You know, I knew Herman Cain was a liar because we caught him in lies about Ron Paul. But he worked for the most high-powered positions in the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the head of the snake. Oh, Herman Cain turns out it's a liar. It's not even the sex with these women. That's not good, but, you know, if he repented, he could be forgiven. The point is, it's the lying. He's a liar. People say, what do you mean? He didn't admit to having sex with her. Oh, he just paid her rent for 13, almost 14 years. I mean, come on, folks. Stop being willful idiots. I'm going to go to your calls the next segment. I need to hit some more of the news right now and continue on into the next. It's just incredible. The New York Daily News is reporting that Lenora Zimmerman, outraged as TSA denies it strip searched the 85-year-old Long Island grandmother. And they came out and denied it last week but didn't give details. Now they've said it's not a strip search, it's the procedure. That's like shooting someone in the head and saying, I'm not shooting you in the head, it's a procedure. Or I'm going to chop your head off. It's not a murder, it's surgery. Again, it's all these games. How many times did they say last year and this year, TSA will no longer grope children under 12, but it continues. It's just a lie, a lie. They train you to just accept their lies. And now another woman's come out. Another elderly woman says she was exposed at Kennedy Airport. Lenora Zimmerman, 85, was angry and embarrassed after she claimed strip search at Kennedy Airport. I love how people last year were claiming they were going in their pants. And the TSA said, we are not doing that. And then all these hundreds of videos got released. I mean, they lie to you. Of course they take you in that room and strip search you. That's the next phase. And public gets mad and they say, we're not doing that. It's a military tactic to use against an enemy. They've had NORTHCOM a long time. The globalists list us as the enemy. And you know who the number one enemy is? Returning veterans. If they can't hire you to be a cop and get all macho with the public, you're listed as an enemy. Incredible. Now another woman in her 80s at the very same terminal says she was exposed one day before. And it goes through it. And all these witnesses are coming out now. I mean, I've always thought, what am I going to do if they try to drag me behind closed doors? You know, TSA's killed a few people. Have you seen that? They said one woman choked herself on the handcuffs that were behind her back. Yeah, only Houdini could do that. Here's another one. Fear of second Obama term spurs record gun sales. Single-day firearms purchases hit all-time high. Paul Joseph Watson, Infowars.com. Barack Obama, of course, is getting in a lot of trouble for going on a 17-day vacation as America falls apart. People are saying, why? Because he doesn't run anything. He reads off a teleprompter. He's done his job, gave you false hope. Here comes Newt Gingrich. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine Herman Cain endorsing Newt Gingrich? I mean, what a joke. A liar endorsing him as if that has value. And Newt Gingrich, a guy who is for socialist health care, carbon taxes, open borders, an end to the family, global government. And he's the front runner. By the way, they can't ignore now, Ron Paul is the second in place behind Mitt Romney. But it's just a minor footnote. Okay, in most of the polls, Ron Paul's number two. Still can't win. Because they said so. Because they tell you what can happen. They tell you when the TSA sticks their hands down your wife's pants or grabs her breasts, it's not groping. And when we make an 85-year-old lady who can't get out of a wheelchair take her pants and panties off, or make somebody take a Depends diaper off and grab their genitals, it's not sexual assault. Because we, the government, said so. They play these games with people. I'll get into Iran and a lot more coming up. That's the big news. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we got Bruce Fine joining us for about 20 minutes in the next segment. Ron Paul's chief legal analyst on the campaign. Dusty's from lawyer, author, to get into the NADD, which is the Enabling Act. It is the martial law provision. It is everything we've warned you of and more, and it signals they're getting ready to really drop the hammer here in the near future. Near future is a year, 2 years, 3 years, from next month, next week. You don't know, but this, people keep saying, you've been talking about this for 16 years. It's coming true, but when's it really going to happen? They know to move slowly, but when you get down to the end, it can't move slow anymore. It's fast, and we're, you know, time's compressing. I'm going to continue with your calls. I'm going to get into the Iran news. I've already mentioned it in the first hour, but the real meat and potatoes on that and more, the spy drone shot down, Iran threatening war, all of it. Things are certainly escalating into big time high gear right now. But right now, let's go back to your calls, and I'll continue with calls. Let's talk to Ezekiel, who's a Marine in Kentucky. Ezekiel, thank you, then Corey and others. Go ahead. You're on the air, Ezekiel.
Yes, I'm a Marine and a former high school health teacher. And I was a health teacher in one of the roughest high schools in Kentucky. And I got to say, it's the younger generation who needs to be woken up the most. I mean, these kids truly are the children of Babylon. I tried to teach them about GMOs and organic agriculture, self-sufficiency, self-reliance. And, you know, and they laughed and scoffed at me. And they have no concept of freedom or liberty. All they know is materialism, garbage pop culture, mindless video games, and chemical abuse. And this cohort is who needs woken up the most. They enlist because they want to live out the fantasies that they've first manifested on their Xbox 360s.
You're right, and they like to beat up old people. That's a big phenomenon. Just the we have degenerated, and heaven help us with this next year. I mean, it's really bad. You're right. So as a Marine, what's your view on this announcement that basically the Constitution was flushed down the toilet?
It looks like the nail in the coffin to me.
If they're able to implement it.
Right. I really love to talk. I've got so much I'd love to talk to you about, because I've been inside four facets of the system. I've been inside the military-industrial complex. I've been inside the educational system. I've been inside the prison-industrial complex. And I've been inside what I call the esoteric-industrial complex. And I've seen some stuff that, you know, that's invisible to a lot of people. But there's one point.
Okay,
I'd like
you got the floor for 2 minutes. Hit it. Go.
Okay, well, actually, I want to make one point. I want to call out the Tea Party and OWS. These movements need to stand up and reject the two-party dictatorship, because I went to a Tea Party rally, and I've also been to OWS, and I got frustrated. The Tea Party needs to reject the Republicans OWS needs to reject the Democrats. I would love to see Ron Paul team up with somebody like Kucinich to show that people who love freedom, whether they are progressive or conservative libertarians, can abandon squabbles of theoretical ideology and unite against the machine. We need a coalition to rise up in 2012. You can't dismiss such a united coalition as a waste voting spoiler.
Well said. Well said. Give us 30 seconds on the military-industrial complex, and then tell us about the esoteric.
There's one other point I want to get to. I'm sorry, it's kind of digressed. I just would like you to make a distinction, because I think sometimes you kind of alienate people who misinterpret what you say about collectivism. There's state collectivism and there's libertarian collectivism, and an Amish community or a Buddhist or Catholic monastery.
No. If people get together and decide to collectivize, that works really good if it's small, and works really well. Small is beautiful. There's a book on that. It's command and control collectivism is the plague.
Right. And an eco village or the family or mutual aid and charity, that's real collectivism.
Well, no, the globalists always counterfeit what's normal. That's why people get into collectivism. Exactly. No, I hear you. You're absolutely right. That's very sophisticated. All we're trying to do is explain, when government comes at you or big corporations with collectivism, run the other way. I mean, I don't want to go live in the big plastic city of the zeitgeist people with some computer telling me what to do. It's programmed by some communist occultist. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. Thank you. I was late getting back in the studio, running around out there getting some more articles together. The next 25 minutes or so, we are joined by constitutional law expert Bruce Fein. Then I'm going to go back to your calls and into the Iran situation, threatening to block out the Strait of Hormuz, the admitted Western military attacks inside the country. We told you months ago that's what was happening. Now it's admitted. Was really going on years ago, but now it's accelerated. We'll also get into what's happening with the economy. But Bruce Fein joins us. He's a lawyer who specializes in constitutional international law. And, of course, he's written articles for Slate, New York Times, Legal Times, The Washington Times. He's an expert on civil liberties. He's involved with the American Enterprise Institute and the Heritage Foundation, both conservative think tanks, as an analyst and commentator. And, of course, he's also an author. He is Ron Paul's chief legal advisor on the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and AmericanFreedomAgenda.org is one of his sites. And he joins us now to talk about the State of the Union. Going back when he was on with us, 4 or 5 months ago, we talked about Obama launching military operations and saying he didn't need Congress to do that he, quote, did it for the credibility of the UN. I mean, what a slap in the face. What treason that he became the head of the Security Council, violating Article 1, Section 9, flaunting it. The news even admitted that. Now we enter a new phase, and Obama says he'll veto the sections of the National Defense Authorization Act where the military can arrest U.S. citizens. The whole world's a declaration of war against the world, kill anybody anywhere, including NORTHCOM here in the U.S. So all of that's in there. But Obama came out and said, I may not sign it because I'm the president and I have that authority to kill citizens outside of law or courts or anything anywhere in the world. So I don't need Congress. So the media tried to spin it as, Obama's for the Bill of Rights, Constitution. No, the press releases lawyers put out last week, we covered it here, said something entirely different. We'll get Bruce Fein's breakdown on this and get his take on the Ron Paul campaign. Bruce, thanks for coming on with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Wow, things are really accelerating. Were you shocked by this legislation? And give us your expert take on it and where this takes us.
Yes, and I want to, let's take it from how we interpret the president's threat to veto. This is before the legislation was passed by the Congress. the president claimed, as you indicated, authority unilaterally to assassinate any American anywhere in the world on his say-so alone based upon secret facts, secret laws saying so-and-so is an imminent danger to the security of the United States. You don't have to be on a battlefield. You don't have to be involved in hostilities. You don't even have to be accused of a crime, because Mr. Al-Awlaki had never been indicted. He had never been subject to any even formal arrest warrant, anything like that. Neither was his 16-year-old kid who was vaporized a few days later. I mean, this is a power that would have made King George III jealous, and we overthrew King George III. This is a power that every tyrant would crave and celebrate. I can kill any of my citizens anytime I want based upon secret facts and secret law. And on imminent danger, I mean, he'd been on the list, Al-Awlaki, for over a year. And imminent danger, I mean, imminent means it's going to happen immediately. It shows the Orwellian use of language by the Obama administration. That's before. He also claimed the absolute authority to decide on his own whether if he did capture an American citizen or a non-citizen in the United States based upon some suspicion that he said shows involvement in international terrorism, he could decide on his whim. I'll try you in a civilian court and prosecute you, or I'll try you in a military court, military commissions and prosecute you. I can just flip one way or the other, and you can't constrain me. That was before the legislation. So what he objected to in the legislation wasn't the idea that no president should have this omnipotent authority. He was furious that Congress thought it had any say to try to constrain him in any way, because Congress was trying to limit his ability to flip detainees from the military system to the civilian system. So he wasn't defending civil liberties. He was destroying the last vestige of checks and balances and separation of powers by saying, Congress, you have no authority to try to limit me in any way I want whenever I claim I'm fighting a war. I am the law. You know, it's like Louis XIV, the state, c'est moi. It's me. And so the press, instead of understanding that, thinks now he's become an ACLU civil libertarian by vetoing the legislature.
Incredible. That's what's so amazing. He's saying, no, because you're trying to follow the Constitution, even though this is unconstitutional, yeah. The way you're trying to pass it's constitutional.
Right.
I'm not going. And his lawyers said that, yeah. And the media went along with this. Bruce, do you think it's because they are ignorant or because they want to protect him?
Well, I think it's a combination. Several of them truly are just totally ignorant. But others, clearly, they want to. They do not like Congress, this is a way in which they can try to paint Congress, the do-nothing Congress, whatever. That's in part here, it's not a do-nothing Congress. They do not like the Tea Party conservative slant in the Congress, although this is the opposite of that. And so this is just another chance to slam the Congress of the United States, certainly when they see something that isn't that slights Obama. But a lot of it is just lavishness to the president. And I think also it's unfortunate that it's not limited to Obama. I think the press in general has become cheerleaders for kings and queens, for omnipotence in the executive branch, and assailing any suggestion that self-government really ought to have any sway, because after all, these platonic guardians in the White House and the Oval Office should tell us how to live. You know, whether we should have spinach or broccoli and rules and regulations that Congress never touches that have enormous consequences for the economy. It is a very, very arrogant, condescending attitude of government, the precise attitude that provoked the American Revolution in 1776. I mean, the founding fathers, if they saw this piece of legislation, the president asserting that power, they would have impeached the president in less than 24 hours.
Bruce, obviously the system knows that the derivatives, the too big to fails, the crony capitalism is coming down, and we're seeing an acceleration of agendas that you and I and Ron Paul and many others had warned about and been laughed at. Now people aren't laughing. I mean, does it have to get really bad before it gets better? Where do you expect this to go? I mean, do you expect them to be able to implement stuff like this? I mean, this does tell us a lot about the makeup of our government, that they're attempting things like this.
Well, it does. And it also is the most dangerous element here is what's become maybe a subtext of our national discourse, a risk-free society. We can, anything that anybody says will make us safer is okay. The rack and screw, if it results in vandalizing due process, Detaining people without accusation or charge, anything you just yell, it makes us possibly safer, even though it doesn't. You know, they get away with it. And that's just the opposite of what the Constitution is about. The default position that the Founding Fathers wanted, that was revolutionary at the time, was that individual liberty is the default. The government can't do anything unless it gives a really strong reason about why they should interfere with your physical and mental liberty and freedom. It doesn't mean an insurmountable hurdle, but that's the default position is liberty. Now, no, just make the government bigger, 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 TSA, more screening, whatever, anything goes that will arguably make us safer. You know, you got to have some risk in life. It takes risk when you get out of bed, you know? You could, somebody could come up and drive a car when you're on the sidewalk.
Well, Bruce, as you know, historically, I'd like you to speak to this briefly. Tyrants always say it's for your own good, and historically, the greatest danger outside of natural death, the most unnatural death that we've seen, has been death by government or enslavement or impoverishment by government. I mean, this is the most dangerous thing. As George Washington said, like fire, government is a dangerous servant and a fearful master.
That's exactly right. And that's why, and it's not to say that individuals can't perpetrate evil. They can. But in magnitudes of danger, the government is capable of vastly more wretchedness, destruction of liberty, death than any private individual or group of individuals. And that's why the government is the one where the greatest scrutiny has to be put upon. And it was James Madison, just think about this, this is over 200 years ago, he pointed out and he warned, he said, the instruments of repression that are used initially to fight a foreign danger are invariably used by tyrants to destroy liberty at home. This is the greatest prescience that had ever been uttered by an American statesman. He knew exactly what's going to happen. So first, okay, we're just going to use these special procedures in Afghanistan and then Iraq, then Yemen, then Somalia. And now they're on our American soil. And what I fear, Alex, is that if there's anything like another 9/11 or even somebody who stands up and says, all right, Iran's got nuclear weapons, now a president's going to declare martial law. You know, the liberty's going to be over. Okay, we have military commissions, and I'll restore the Constitution when I think it's safe. And I'm fearful right now we have an American culture that's so effete in its defense of individual liberty and so willing to accept vassalage to some big brother government who yells safety that the president would get away with it.
Well, Bruce,
on the street, you know.
As you know, that's the entire architecture. I'm going to skip this network break here, so station shouldn't cover this up. It's a network break. I'm going to skip it. We only got you at the bottom of the hour, and this is so important. Constitutional law expert, congressional expert, Ron Paul's main advisor on legal issues, constitutional lawyer Bruce Fine. He's also an author. Bruce, let's shift gear in the same area, but shifting gears, look at Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich has been attacking Ron Paul, calling him a joke. Donald Trump's been calling him a joke. When Donald Trump is a joke, by any yardstick, Mr. Eminent Domain, Mr. Democratic Party contributor who claims he's a Republican, clearly a ringer. But Newt Gingrich has now been endorsed by the former Federal Reserve head of Kansas City, Herman Cain. And Newt Gingrich, who is for indefinite detention, torture, all of this, who's for carbon taxes, who's for all these different globalist things, he is now the front runner. Ron Paul's admitted number two now in Iowa and other states. What's your view on Newt Gingrich and what's wrong with mainline Republicans? Or do you think these polls are a fraud? How could any conservative with half a brain like Newt Gingrich?
I don't know. This guy is the epitome of inside the beltway cynicism. He'll say one thing one day, the other the next day. He exploits all the political chicanery known to mankind. A historian for Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, $40-50 million that he gets out of for lobbying Congress on his health care issue. He's an egomaniac. He cheats on his wife. He claims that he's great for frugality and he has a Tiffany's bank account of $500,000. He manipulates and utilizes nonprofit organizations to benefit his political campaign, his profit making organizations for free. I mean, and he spouts anything under the sun, no matter how glib yet absurd they are. I mean, his statement, for example, the president should flout decisions of the U.S. Supreme Court if they think they're wrong. You know? Wow, that's really something. This is somebody who is talking about Ron Paul as being a joke. This guy would destroy the greatest conception of all constitutions in the history of the world, judicial review. in 1787. And I said, women, Newt Gingrich. No, the president just said, the heck with the Supreme Court. And you see how absurd that is, because he's at the same time saying, oh, if the Supreme Court declares the health care bill unconstitutional, then it should fall. But at the same time, he's basically saying, well, Obama could just ignore it and implement his health care anyway. I mean, the guy is a total intellectual jumble of contradictions and cynicism. And I believe that the only reason that explains his rise is that he's not Mitt Romney. And Mitt is so statuesque. He's so off-putting as a candidate. They're sort of scrambling, the Republicans are, for somebody else. And Newt is the candidate for that particular time. But I believe as more of these warts in Newt become more known and prominent, he will fall like a shooting star and a comet out of the sky and be destroyed, because his character is so flawed that it simply cannot withstand a sustained public scrutiny.
Wow, Bruce Fine is on fire. Amazing analysis, absolutely on target. Looking at Newt Gingrich, it's like shark teeth. All these different politicians come forward. The public learns about them. They fall away. We've seen it with Perry, with Romney, with Newt, with
Bachman,
with all of them. Only Ron Paul has stayed number one, number two, or number three in every straw poll, every scientific poll. He now is, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Ron Paul supporter. I'm always a realist. He really is the front runner in all the big polls. He beats Obama handily. I mean, he is the man. He should be our next president. He's been dead on about why we're in so much trouble. He's the only candidate that will actually address it. And if we don't elect Ron Paul, if the power structure doesn't elect Ron Paul, I mean, as corrupt as the power structure is, they can't just keep robbing and stealing. They're going to kill the golden goose. Yeah. Your take on that?
Yeah, I think that's right. But the history of empires is the history of self-ruination. But I certainly agree with your assessment of Ron Paul. And this is what I can say with 100% first-hand certainty. He is the only candidate who's not running for self-aggrandizement. He's the only candidate who's not driven by egomania. He's the only candidate that we know when he's in the Oval Office and he makes a decision, it will be based upon what he thinks are best for the nation and those yet to be born. It won't be based upon the next day's polls or political maneuvering or footprints in the sand of time or anything like that. And that's enormously important, because there are going to be issues that we can't contemplate or only can be dimly perceived right now that will emerge in the next 4 years. And we need to have confidence in the character of the man, that no matter what, that his big focus and his only North Star will be what's good for the country. It's not my particular ego that's at stake. It's not like, well, I'm too much bothered in trying to run the world to worry about the local economy because I'm worrying about Tibet or Nepal or Yemen or something like that. He wants to defend the United States, safety and the economy, but in the United States. And that's why I think he should be a hands-down pick. And remember, this idea that Ron Paul, you know, he doesn't have a foreign policy or tweak is absurd. If there's one person who's the most hawkish on defending Americans as opposed to defending Afghans or defending Iraqis or Yemenis, it is Ron Paul, because he wants our defense resources devoted to protecting us.
And he was also in the Air Force.
Protecting everybody under the sun.
Let me expand on that. Netanyahu kicked out the last head of Mossad because he didn't want to strike Iran. And the former head of Mossad was in Haaretz the other day saying it'll be a catastrophe if they strike him right now. Iran's already threatened to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. They've shot down a drone. All of this is accelerating. But Obama wants the political distraction. Netanyahu may want it. And then Ron Paul got banned from this latest debate, and the group said, well, because you're not realistic on Iran, when I've seen polls of the majority of Israelis don't want to do this. And I know you're advising him on legal things in the Constitution, but where is a preemptive strike with the U.S. backing it in the Constitution on Iran? And then when you actually look at what Ron Paul actually says, it's the researched view of the big think tanks, of the CIA. Ron Paul's the only one actually living in reality geopolitically.
That is absolutely right. There's nothing in the Constitution that authorizes preemptive war, or Don Rumsfeld called them anticipatory self-defense. A defense means you defend yourself against an attack. Not that you initiate an attack, you defend against an attack, and that's what the Constitution says in the preamble or otherwise. And moreover, Ron Paul's position is the sensible position. And let's scope out what the other side says. First, they say, well, Iran is so crazy. Even if you attempt to deter them by promising nuclear incineration if they attacked us, they crave self-destruction. Well, that's insane. You know, what did the Iranians do? Even with the Ayatollahs and the mullahs, they negotiated the release of our hostages finally from Tehran. They brought a conclusion to the Iraqi-Iran war brought by Saddam Hussein. Remember, we shot down an airliner, a civilian airliner, the USS Vincennes over the Persian Gulf. We killed over 200. They negotiated that, so we paid them money. They didn't go to war. They're like any other country. You know, the idea that somehow Iran displays more, you know, irrationality than North Korea and we can't deter them with our nuclear arms is ridiculous. Moreover, let's understand, why does Iran cling to nuclear arms? Largely because we have had a policy championed and initiated by Newt Gingrich of overthrowing the government by force and violence. They remember our overthrow of Mossadegh, the only democratically elected official in this, you know, in the last centuries in Iran. We overthrew him to get the Shah of Iran in.
Bruce, it's worse than that, as you know. It's now admitted that since Bush 5 years ago and currently, England, Israel, and the U.S. have been running covert operations. Here's France 24. U.S.-Israel covert war against Iran suspected. It's not suspected when giant bases are blowing up.
Yeah, and scientists are assassinated. Yeah, you're exactly right. We know that. So, when a country is confronting an adversary who says we're going to overthrow your regime, they're ordinarily likely to look at self-defense, and they see what happened to Gaddafi in Libya. Gaddafi wasn't attacking the United States. We just got up and said, hey, you know, let's throw that guy out. So we are creating the environment that creates the incentive for them to
develop. Let me ask you this question.
One point I'd like to make, Alice, just to finish this out. The only issue in which all Iranians agree, including those who despise the mullahs, is they want and need a nuclear armament now because of the United States. We are unifying the Iranians. And the fact is, other countries, when they have reached a level of security, have abandoned nuclear weapons. It's not like once you get them, you never give them up. South Africa had them at one time. They got a bit rid of them. Belarus had them. They got rid of them. Kazakhstan got rid of them. Ukraine had them at one time, got rid of them. So listen, I don't champion proliferation. But the fact is, if you have a regime that's not threatened, you could probably develop the internal consensus to get rid of them, because basically, you know, they're useless in ordinary war. All the nuclear weapons we had didn't win in Vietnam. All the nuclear weapons that Israel had nothing to do with the Yom Kippur War. And so we have the ability, by not threatening to overthrow regimes, to create a climate where they won't have any incentive to create.
Bruce, I thought we only had you for 20, but I've learned the producer we have you for about 10 more in the next segment, so now I'll have time to get to my questions. But we're about to go to break. I want to pose the questions to you now, and we'll come back. What then is the real strategy of the Fortune 100 and the big mega banks manipulating our government, Israel and Europe, England? What do they want out of this destabilization? Why would they want to put the Muslim Brotherhood in all over the Middle East? Why would they want to put Al-Qaeda in Libya when Gaddafi had been playing ball for 7 years and taking total, you know, Western investment? Why? Why do they want so much destabilization? Why don't they want to just be friends with everybody like Ron Paul has said? Bruce Fein, constitutional lawyer, Ron Paul advisor, straight ahead.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
By the way, he's got his new book out, and it is powerful. American Empire Before the Fall, available at Amazon and other bookstores everywhere. Barnes & Noble, Bruce Fein's new book, American Empire Before the Fall, and a large portion of the proceeds goes to the Campaign for Liberty. And see, these global interests, they're just working the levers of the American Empire that we paid for. And we don't get anything. It'd be one thing if it was like the British Empire 200 years ago, where if you were an Englishman and served it, sometimes you could actually get something out of serving the empire. On average here, this is not the case. And I'm not endorsing an evil empire where you actually get some of the loot. I'm just saying in this one, you pay for it in blood, treasure, your name. America now is this example worldwide where dictators and thugs and oligarchs endorse their torture, their secret arrest off of what we're doing. The Egyptian police have named themselves Homeland Security when they rubber bullet people and arrest them now and torture them. I mean, this is an amazing transformation we've seen. Bruce Fine's our guest. So Bruce, you heard my question. What is the thinking of the global elite? Because they're debasing Europe, they're debasing America, they're debasing England, they're debasing Israel, they're debasing Australia. They're wrecking all of their own power sectors, whereas in the past we had some, you know, corrupt leaders sometimes, but they still understood the basic idea of not wrecking your own command base. So I guess we're seeing the Nero or Caligula type hubris, the insanity. What's your view on why they're doing this and what the end game is? Why put Al-Qaeda in charge of Libya?
Well, I think that there are two driving motivations here, one for politicians and one for the, what you call the military terrorism complex. But I think, Alex, we need to understand that empires are not smart, that even if they think what they're doing is good for them in the long run, they destroy themselves. That is, they can be very, very stupid and foolish. Indeed, that's what caused Mr. Gibbon to sit at the corner of the dilapidated Roman Colosseum and to ask why was it dilapidated after it had such a brilliant, you know, obelisk status and iconic status for so many centuries. So we can't believe that just because they're doing it, there's any wisdom behind it. But now we can get to the short-term motives. I think that politically, the reason for this drive for empire and intervention and meddling everywhere is this kind of thrill. It's sort of an animalistic thrill of domination for the sake of domination. It was captured in Julius Caesar. You know, I came, I saw, I conquered. And so, you know, presidents get in and they say, well, gee, you know, I don't want to worry about minimum wage. I want to conquer the world. That's what the presidency is about. You know, Madeleine Albright to Colin Powell, what the hell is it have the greatest army and navy and air force and marines in the world and not use them? You know, we got to use them. And there is this sense of, okay, this is my identity of just acting like a bully on the playground. It gives them thrill if you're an adolescent. And that's why it's not just in the places you talked, Afghanistan, Iraq. I mean, nothing happens in the world. You know, Burundi, we want to interfere in Burundi or the Central African Republic or Nepal, anything. We have a foreign policy position on it. Instead of saying, you know, we're interested in what happens in mankind, but, we, you know, we just need to be worried about America making it as perfect as we can, and our example can have influence, but otherwise other people got to take care of themselves. But this idea of meddling everywhere, wanting to play all roles, it reminds me of Nicholas Bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream, where he wants to play all the parts in the play, you know? That's what we, and sort of a sense of grandeur by doing that. And then the military terrorism complex, it does it because of the money. I mean, just staggering sums out there. And how many of the audience know that this very day we are spending $350 million in Afghanistan alone? In Afghanistan alone.
Or look at the billions. Look at the billions for the naked body scanners.
Yeah.
And the insider trading right there of Chertoff putting the order in and then going to the company to actually profit from what he did. And then Congress gets caught insider trading and says, we're just allowed to do this. It's staggering how they flaunt it in our face. So let me ask you this question then. Looking, you know, historically out there, you mentioned the megalomania, the arrogance of Newt Gingrich. Studying these politicians, they really enjoy going to the parties, getting the awards. A normal person just wants to sit at home and read a book by the fire.
Right.
And so that's why we're kind of blind to them. And I agree with you. Ron Paul's the only person who truly is dedicated, has a grasp on history. The rest are a bunch of fawning sycophants that have sold out 1,000 times 1,000. And that's why they're where they're at. How do we beat these people? We do see liberty rising. Freedom is popular. How do you see these two opposing forces coming together? What's your prognosis on the future?
I don't think the future is determinant. You know, in some sense, Emerson was right. History is biography. History, what's you, me, and what our audience does. And, you know, we basically are at the bottom of Mount Everest in this progress to try to recapture liberty as the center of our constitutional universe with Ron Paul. Certainly, I believe there's optimism because Ron Paul's ideas, although they're still attempted to be shunned by much of the media, is got into the mainstream, at least with regard to the absurd billions, trillions lent by the Federal Reserve, and some people are more hesitant about these endless wars. But they're not the majority, at least at present. So, but you don't need a majority necessarily to prevail. It's the intensity factor, Alex. Andrew Jackson once said, a majority is one man or woman with courage. And what we need to have that resolution that we're going to go out, we're going to argue, we're going to write, we're going to vote, we're going to protest. We may lose, but we're not going to give up. And it may well be that that Ron doesn't win this time around, although I have a healthy optimism that he's going to win Iowa because of the dedication of his people. But the critical thing to understand is politics never has an end point. There's never going to be one victory where you get across the touchdown line and then you can slacken off, because human nature is inevitably going to gravitate towards the lowest common denominator. It needs thrill. It needs leadership. It needs the influence of example by the like of Ron Paul and George Washington. So this is, we've got to understand that our quest is never ending. Every generation is going to have to win it for itself and keep it for itself, because the natural course of mankind is tyranny, whether it's tyranny by one or tyranny by the majority. It takes a very, very educated and committed, a kind of society to celebrate liberty and take some risks. And that is what we have to recognize we're about. Not just our generation, we have to pass on to our successors this intensity factor, this commitment to know it's never going to end at the end of a particular election. And whether we win or lose, it is the ideas, and this is what Ron knows more than anyone else, certainly of all of his rivals, the ideas that is going to lead us as to how we spend our time each day, protecting liberty, shunning big brother government, and craving the kind of independence that gives us a self-fulfillment and pride of being a human being that responds to the adult commands of virtue, wisdom, and magnanimity.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's Bruce Fein without a teleprompter, Ron Paul without a teleprompter, Alex Jones without one. We have research. We are passionate about freedom. We don't need teleprompters. And so many people are sold on the idea that being involved is boring or a chore. But I'm here to tell you, 17 years into the fight, ladies and gentlemen, or more now, that as Thomas Jefferson said, it is the animating contest of liberty. It is animating. It is exciting to be informed. It's exciting to study history and politics and law. And as you learn more, it starts connecting, and you learn more and more, and you realize how much you don't know. And then you accelerate your learning, and then you become humble. In time and space, you realize it's about the human species. It's about the journey. It's about empowerment. It's about destiny. And then you look at those who don't even want to know about history, or those who don't admire humanity's great deeds. Then you feel sorry for them. And I think in the final equation, that's the crossroads we're at right now. Bruce, final comments on that, and then tell us about your new book.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I've been in Washington 43 years. The greatest thrills are not winning lawsuits. It's being out there and arguing for the highest principles that animated our founding fathers and doing justice to those who have sacrificed so much before so that we can live free and to have freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of inquiry. And that's just got to burn in you. And it never goes away. It's not like you get to a stage of retirement where you no longer are involved with fighting for liberty. The great thing about the quest is that it never ends. Right up to your last dying breath, it'll still be stimulating you, giving you that kind of adrenaline to keep you active and participatory every day of your whole life.
And it's that instinct that we owe all civilization and creativity and everything good. It has all flowed from that instinct for liberty and freedom, that drive.
Yeah. The very first person who stood up and said slavery and subservience is bad. We all owe a great homage to that individual, even if it didn't succeed on that particular day. And you're right, it's the torch of civilization that we're trying to keep alive here. Now, with regard to, my last book was American Empire Before the Fall. I think it expands upon all the ideas that we've discussed today, Alex. I am involved in another book. It's going to compare the motivations of the human species compared to the lower species, and to try to compare and contrast and suggest, is it clear which is the superior animal, and where we've got to restore, the ultimate, the values that have been the guiding light.
That's right. The globalists always want to tell us that we're not special because they know we are. We can direct our own development. Give us 60 seconds on your view on that.
No, absolutely, we can, and this is what I'm suggesting. We have minds, we have brains, and the brains are to try to extract what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature by imitation, by leadership, by character. So that, and recognizing and living really for the ages, not necessarily physically, but so our character will speak to someone born 1,000 years from now.
Yes!
Because they will struggle for those same reasons. Why are we here between ashes to ashes and dust to dust? What is virtue or not? And in that sense, our lives are eternal. That's what we have to strive for.
Well, that's how you live on, is by transmitting that information. It's not arrogance that you want your ideas and information to be passed on. You're passing the baton as well from those that came before you. It is love of the species. It's a love letter to the future. It is truly how we live forever, not just through our progeny, but through our ideas. And more, this great foundational truth, Bruce, is being echoed by people. It's not until tyranny comes in like a flood,
yeah,
to quote the Bible, that the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it, and you and Ron Paul or others, and just briefly getting back to Ron Paul before we let you go, look at how 4 years ago he ran. He's probably gotten 5, 6, 7 times the attention, the energy this time.
Yeah.
Then when he didn't win, the establishment said, oh, look, all that wasted. No, he built a platform. Now look how far he's getting. And he may not this time, he actually may, but it may be Rand or somebody else down the road. It's that focal point. Look at how 20 years ago he couldn't get one co-sponsor, or 16 years ago when he first got back in Congress, 17 years ago, he couldn't get one co-sponsor. Now he passed audit the Fed in the House, and he didn't win this time. But resistance is victory. The system is scared. We've got moles inside Bilderberg, Bruce, and they are scared of Ron Paul. Why? Because it's now the hottest thing on campus. It's not mainline Republicanism or communism. It's now liberty. They're scared. They see the youth. And not the ones playing Xbox that don't care, but the real youth that are going to be the 5-10% are now, their brains are lighting up for liberty, and that scares the system.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And it's in a different context, Alex. I don't want to overstate the analogy, but if we look right now in the White House, you know, we have someone in the White House who's black, but he's really there because people 40 or 50 years, and I was involved in the civil rights movement as well, were working. They aren't in the White House, and I don't think he really understands what was necessary in order to propel him there. It's a different issue with regard to race, but we're talking about basically the same thing. And what's so magnificent about Ron Paul is that he doesn't care. If he's not the one who occupies the White House and someone else stands on his shoulders and gets in the Oval Office, he'll clap. He'll be the first one to clap, even though he's the one, by all merit and justice, who ought to be there. And that is the earmark of someone who is truly great. It's statesmanship's finest hour when you have someone like Ron Paul.
Well, we can't overstate it. And in final conclusion, he is founding father material. If Ron Paul could be teleported back 235, 240 years ago, would he not be, you know, amongst the greats there?
Absolutely. And of all those running for office, he's the only one who had been given an invitation to enter the Constitutional Convention of 1787 in Philadelphia. All the others would have been given no vacancy or eviction notice.
Beautiful. Bruce Fine, you're doing a great... So how are you advising the campaign, just on constitutional issues?
Well, I'm senior policy advisor. You can imagine it's rather hectic. The travel campaign is very, very hectic. So write op-eds, speak on shows like this, and give guidance there. I think... we think in such automatic same furrows, we don't really have to talk to know exactly what kind of approach to take on this. And that's, the great thing about Ron. I don't have to memorize, well, what was he yesterday before today? You know, like all the other candidates, you never know. you're expressing their viewpoint with the human weather vane has changed. So it's really a delight for working with Ron and his team there. I think everybody is really devoted, and none of this self-aggrandizement or pettiness. So it's going to be one of my memories for life, whether we ultimately win or lose.
What can we do more than anything to help the campaign? A lot of people don't know about trying to be involved in the party caucuses. They don't know about being delegates. They don't understand that right now every little thing they do is going to have a huge effect. The system has been trying to black him out and give him 89 seconds in a debate because they're scared.
Well, the best thing to do is write letters to the media saying, why are you blacking out Ron Paul? He should get same prominence commensurate with his popularity as others. And also, again, talk to friends and find out what the rules are in your particular state. Every state has different ground rules for whether it's caucus or primary about how you come out, how you vote, how you can make certain that your voice is heard at the primary stage. So master that so you know exactly when, where, and how, and encourage all your friends to show up. But you're exactly right, Alex. Where a whole lot of penetration can be made is the young people, because they haven't been co-opted into the military-industrial complex yet. And they're the ones who can make a huge difference in the primary stage by turning out. They've got a lot of kinetic energy. And they're really the ones who have, in some sense, the most at stake, because unless this trajectory changes and the way that Ron Paul is pointing towards, they will inherit, if it's not a total tyranny, it'll be a semi-tyranny, and they have a very, very difficult time extricating themselves. So if they want to enjoy the liberties they got now, they may have to focus themselves on this particular presidential race.
And some are listening right now who won't take it to heart, but the seed is planted, and as things get worse, they'll remember. Bruce Fein, incredible interview, Godspeed, and I'm glad Ron Paul's got you in there as being the senior policy advisor. He couldn't have found somebody better. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Good day.
Thank you. All right, there goes Bruce Fein. Very, very exciting to hear that. And, of course, he's going to get attacked a lot and everything, a lot of disinformation and stuff, because the system is scared to death of what's happening. But Bruce Fein definitely burns with the desire for liberty, and that's very exciting. Okay, I'm going to come back. I've already pretty much gotten into Iran, but I'm going to hit that. Obviously, you do some overdrive for all the folks that are holding, the military people that are holding. Very powerful broadcast today. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Nightly news is tonight at 7, by the way, 7. Well, that was a powerful interview. The animating contest of liberty. Look at these headlines. Iran blasts completely destroyed major missile testing site, they tell us weeks later. Israel and U.S. intelligence officials tell New York Times recent explosion at military base near Tehran was a major setback to Iran's long-range missile program, and Israel tacitly admits they did it. Here's a U.S.-Israel covert war against Iran, and Iran is sitting there and taking it. Again, it's just like Bruce Fein just said, this is madness. And I've been talking to Lindsey Williams. We're going to get him on the next few days. He's saying he talked to his globalist source. I know who it is. And they're saying they're trying to trick Iran into responding. And Iran's now saying they might block the Strait of Hormuz or something. That's falling right into the trap. And I know it's hard for a country to take all this, but we do not want this new war. But the globalists need it as a political distraction. Here's another one, Jerusalem Post. Embattled Assad may start conflict with Israel. They go on to report that the real possibility, Israel's Mossad chief says, that Assad will try to engage Israel's military in order to deflect attention from massacre. Oh, you mean governments launch wars for political purposes to distract? That the shoe goes on the other foot for Netanyahu, wanting to launch this thing with Iran, which is like jumping into a bear trap. Israel's going to be attacked on every side. Then the United States is going to be drug in. And then there'll be terror attacks, whether they're real or manufactured. You can see where this is going. That'll be a nice political diversion while the bankers rob us. Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee Chairman Saul Mofaz warned Monday, if I'm pronouncing that right, that the duress which Syrian President Assad finds himself could soon lead to an armed conflict between Syria and Israel. The closer the Assad regime in Syria gets to the death's door, the bigger the threat against Israel becomes. He went on to tell Army Radio, and that's true. The globalists are really trying to destabilize that whole area. Here's another one. Mysterious blast slaying suggest covert efforts in Iran. Bush launched them 5 years ago. I've been talking about it ever since. It's like if the government doesn't admit something, the media is so stupid, they can't even get the press release Bush put out at the White House 5 years ago. I should have my writers write another article about it, just because the morons in mainstream media either don't know or aren't allowed to report it to people. Gee, I wonder if all these big explosions at military bases are some kind of covert strikes. Gee, I wonder if all these leaders getting assassinated is an operation. U.S. official says no sign Iran shot down drone. That was Reuters a few days ago, but now this is out today, Fox News. U.S. military sources, Iran has missing drones, some $6 million 90-foot wingspan giant drone. Who knows if that thing's even dropping bombs? And again, why doesn't Iran want to admit all this? Because it makes them look weak. Their public would get really mad if they sit there and take these attacks. There's a report here they're going to be exporting more of our gasoline out of the country, right, as quantities go down. That's some of the key news there. I didn't even really get into all this financial news. This is so important. Fed may give loans to IMF to help Eurozone. Again, they've already given them loans. It's their subsidiary, so they're not giving a group loans. It's a total scam. The loans are at 0% interest. They loan it out, so it's free money. Continuing here, there's reports the Fed to fund IMF bypassing congressional refusal on European bailout. Merkozy, they're now combining the names of Merkel and Sarkozy, under pressure to agree to budget master plan. And the agreement on the bailout of Europe is the transfer of all sovereignty and power to the private megabanks. Incredible news there. Gingrich favors juries, but not for Americans, just for illegal aliens. Doesn't want you to have juries, but wants illegal aliens to have them. Can't make this up. Donald Trump, again, dismisses Ron Paul as a joke. Donald Trump is a casino-owning thug joke. Piece of trash. That's it for the main transmission. Call's coming up.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
All right, I got to a lot of police and military. I apologize for not getting to everybody. We're in overdrive here. Let's go to Corey, who's active duty military, been holding for over an hour. I appreciate that, Corey. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Alex?
Okay.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, good, good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I just wanted to touch up on here. I'm Title 32 for Connecticut, a little different than Title 10 military. But just giving basically a little bit of an update as to what's going on here, particularly between Massachusetts and Connecticut, we're having actually some congressmen here that we contacted recently. They're, I think it's John Larson, Sean Williams. They're going to try and jump on this to try and get this bill shot down. But then again, there we also see we're also starting to see the Occupy Hartford movement. I mean, Connecticut's starting to wake up pretty fast between there and Massachusetts. But yeah, we're trying to get our officers on board as to what this act enables, and it goes back to again what the guys were saying earlier on. It's like if you're going to take an oath, you know, defend it. I mean, it specifically states defend your constitutional oath from enemies both foreign and domestic. And I'm just sitting here waiting because we had a petition online at whitehouse.gov, and obviously that takes about 25 days to go through before Obama would sign it. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, in the bill itself, it says that it's 60 days active after the president signs it. And we're all just discussing this here now. It's like, should we just take off our uniforms? I mean, how do you defend yourself from that?
Well, it's good to have good people inside the military, inside the police who will speak out, so I wouldn't do that. I would point out this is illegitimate. The government could pass laws saying blonde-haired, blue-eyed people have to, you know, go to prison, or black people have to. It's all illegal. Good points, Corey. Good to hear from you. I'm going to go to Joseph, former military in Texas, listening on XM channel 166. Joseph, thanks for holding. Welcome.
Alex.
Hi.
I heard you quite a few times played on George Norrie's program, and last night too, but I've been out on the road for, well, since 02, and have the opportunity to partake of that venue on a regular basis. The individual who called in earlier, military, I think it's Marine, but was talking about things that happened in Iraq, you know, like fragging civilians, or, well, fragging, I know they're civilians or not, but fragging families in homes.
Yes.
Also, well, it's, I was in Germany, and I know as an MP, I was once invited to go into a detention cell and beat a prisoner with clubs, and I simply refused to do it. I went outside. Couldn't stop it, but I refused to participate. You do have a choice. Now, I mean, granted, there's kind of a gray area as far as what constitutes a legal order versus an illegal order. But you do have a choice. You don't just have to obey orders blindly. And you don't just have to go along with things that are wrong.
That's right. And it's not just your right, it's your duty. Great points. Trying to jam in as many as I can. Rodrigo, got to love that name, in Florida, former military. Give us your take on this.
Well, I just wanted to tell you something. As a foreigner, I served in the Marines in 1997. There's a misconception that Americans have about foreigners coming over here, you know, the illegal aliens. People have been coming to this country was formed by people coming from somewhere else because they wanted to
be clean. I totally understand that. It's that now the numbers are greater than they've ever been, and the politicians are trying to use the illegals, people that are here illegally, to vote for socialism. That's the issue.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something real quick. South America mainly has been used as America's backyard. You know, they've been moving governments, putting governments, killing people, and everything like that. And the countries have been so corrupt that people come over here. And some of these people think that now they want to defend America and they'll vote for anything the government says. But as a foreigner, seeing the same things happening now to this country that happened to...
Tell you what, we're going to have to keep going. And you know what? I'm going to get your number. You want to be on tomorrow? I want to talk about this because what's done in third world countries is now coming home.